treated like an adult.
Blog Talk Radio.
I want to start getting accustomed to that idea and concept now. We're going to go ahead and up the phone lines here. Caller for 323 area, because you're on live with the BlackChannel.net Radio.
Yeah, this is Michael from Lion Booty and Soul. How you guys doing tonight?
Well, first,
hi.
Brother, what's
can
on
you
your mind?
Me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Well,
what's on your mind?
You had a lot of good things to say. First thing you said about the babies. You know, one of the things is that as a community, you know, we're having babies with the wrong type of people. You know, black men, you know, participating with, you know, sex with women, you know, because just for having fun and not looking at the consequences. You know, one of the rules that I had, I'm in my 40s when I was younger, is that I wouldn't put my dick into anything that I really couldn't see being the mother of my children. It kept me out of a lot of problems. It kept me out of a lot of trouble. And then I'm seeing, you know, women having four or five kids, and as you said before, they don't have any daddies, and nobody's really there to support them. And they're just running around wild. They don't have any guidance. And you see them growing up, and they're becoming young men today, and, you know, without direction. So, you know, we just got to stop the wrong people having kids, the wrong type of people. But what I really wanted to talk about was the things that we are attracted to as both men and women. We're really attracted to some, you know, negative devices. You know, women, they're attracted to kind of the bling, flashy type of character. You know, men, they're attracted to the half-naked, you know, body all out and everywhere type of female. And, you know, it's simply the same type of images we've been seeing in the media with the kind of pimp-hole mentality. And I think you mentioned something about, you know, men having to fake it and put on this persona, you know, and we kind of a little bit saw that around the turn of the century, you know, after the Scrub song came out, and then, you know, women were saying that men aren't really doing what they need to do and they need to step up to the plate. And then next thing we saw a lot of this fictitious, you know, gold jewelry, you know, rims, and all these kind of, you know, disposable items that we were purchasing in order to attract the women. And then the women, on the other hand, they're trying to attract some type of, you know, somebody that will take care of them. And so they're putting their bodies out there thinking they're going to attract the right type of guy. And in the long run, or most time, they're going to attract the type of guy that's just going to take advantage of their sexuality. So, you know, the thing is
right,
that,
but here's the thing I'm concerned about as men. Because, like I said, we spend enough, I think there's been plenty of focus on the women. And we understand what the women are doing wrong. But as men, here's the special about it. As men, we're supposed to be leading. And as men, we are supposed to have our minds disciplined and hardened and focused outside and totally separate from whatever the women are doing. That's why when you go into a department store, you've got a section for women and a section for men. That's why women's underwear looks the way it does. Men's underwear looks the way it does. We're supposed to be making our decisions totally separate from the considerations that are common to females. And unfortunately, we as the men, as the leader, because when I say man, I'm not talking about a gender. I'm talking about a social status and a position. As men, abandoned and fully abdicated our responsibilities as leader. And then we're talking about what the women want, but as someone posted up on my page earlier today, the women only do what we as the men allow them to keep getting away with. If we allow the women's priorities to be thrown off, guess what? They're thrown off. If we keep saying that we'll take in females and feed and clothe them, whether they act honorable or not, then guess what they're going to do? So they will ultimately follow our lead. So the real question is, I could see it differently if we as men had our act together across the board. But we don't. We don't.
We don't.
Even if we had it mostly together, that would change it. But the problem is, in many instances, the women have their act together better than the men do. For example, the women have a list of demands that are not sex-related. Say that one more time. The women have a list of demands that are not sex-related. The men have a group of demands that are sex-related. In fact, it pretty much stops at sex and shoes. We don't have any social demands. We don't have any political demands. You want to know why Hollywood caters to the women more than the men? Because the men have made no demands of them. We've made no demands of the movie industry. We haven't challenged in any way. I can show you more black women who have gotten involved in the movie making process than black men have. And that's a fact. That's a fact. So we as men, it'd be different if we just had an agenda. Even if we had an agenda as men, that alone would be different. But we don't. We're just here. Try to find something to lay up with and nice shoes to wear to walk us over there. That's where the genesis of the problem is coming from. Women have never been leaders and not selfless for responsibility. Okay, but that's never been the case. Where are the men to do what men are supposed to be doing? They got bored, brother. They got bored when I started talking about male responsibility. They got bored. And they wanted to know where the women were. On this broadcast, in this place, they wanted to know where the women were. And that tore it for me. When you come up to me in this place wanting to know where the women at, that's the kind of thing that I'm referring to. I'll let you have the last word, brother.
Well, you know, we got to get out of the fun zone and get into the serious zone. And it's a little overwhelming if you don't have the proper guidance, if you've been preparing your life for, you know, these moments that are coming and you don't really have the resources to go out and get the proper job. You know, it looks overwhelming. And most of us, men or boys, are leading ourselves into the fantasy world and doing all the video games and chasing women and looking at the booties. And, you know, it's much easier to live in that world than to, you know, swallow that big pill and say, you know, there's a huge responsibility. And I feel I don't feel prepared to even lead in that direction. And the only thing that a young man or a man could do in that position is one, pray and hope for guidance from a higher power, and two, you know, look at this type of activity and people in the social media that do have some of the answers and can lead you in the right direction. Not only the right direction is the seriousness of the timing, but the right direction is maybe finding a revenue and an independent source of income that can make you feel like a man and you're not just chasing that, you know, minimum wage activity. So and the last word I have to say, you know, is, you know, as a group of people, we have to work together as a unit. And there's some opportunities here within the social media where we all can make some money, and there's a lot of tools out there, and there's obviously an audience out there.
So well, the problem is, how do you get black men focused? Because Jason is probably one of the most driven, focused people I've met, and he even has a hard time getting men to focus.
Well, it has to definitely start earlier. You got to prepare them when they're, you know, young men or they're boys in the junior high school. But, you know, if asking a younger adult in their 20s and 30s, you know, how do you get them focused, they need a guide. They definitely need a one-to-one or somebody within their life that can get them focused. You know, we all need that type of guidance. And we all need to, you know, the men that do are living up, standing up to the plate and doing the things they need to do. They need to reach out to, you know, younger adults and giving them some guidance. And the younger kids and younger people have to, you know, reach out and want to actually learn. And there's a lot of young men that's learning. You know, I'm teaching track. I'm constantly, you know, teaching the kids what I'm doing here with this digital technology. And could there be more? Yes. But there are those guys out there, and we can reach out to them. So we just have to reach out to them. And that's the only thing I can say on the individual level. On a mass communication level, we got to create the type of entertainment or the type of products that people can digest that will help them guide them in the right direction.
Thank you very much for checking in with us, your other, and do let us hear from you again. Thank you for checking the blackchannel.net radio. The phone lines are slammed and jammed here. That didn't take very long. We'll go ahead and we can pick up your phone calls tonight. And thank you for joining us. Call from the 910. You're on live with the Black Channel Net Radio.
Hi, this is Stephanie on Facebook.
Hello, Stephanie. What's on your mind? Well, what city are you in, Stephanie?
I'm in Clinton, North Carolina.
All right, Sinead. What's on your mind, black woman?
I just kind of wanted to say or reiterate what you guys were saying, and that a lot of African-Americans, since we are the poorest people, have the poverty mindset. And I think the men need to realize that in order to make the women do better, that they're going to have to do better. And it's certain indicators that are being shown, and especially like how you have the fitness for black women and the being overweight and everything, that's part of poverty. So if the men want the women to do better, then they definitely need to focus on, you know, breaking that mindset. It's all about breaking the poverty mindset and, you know, the whole entertainment thing and spending money on things that are unnecessary. A lot of the part of the poverty mindset is producing a bunch of children, because in the end, when you get old, you want the kids to take care of you, and that's unacceptable. They need to know that it's unacceptable to you know, just breaking the mindset, like I said.
Now, how old are you, Stephanie?
I'm 30.
Okay. I don't know if you heard last night. They heard me on Mars last night, so I'm pretty sure most people here heard me. But you've heard the comments I had to say here about how I have a very easy time getting black men focused on sexual activity. As a matter of fact, I don't even ask them, but they come pre-prepared to be focused on sexual activity. It's these other things that involve adult things like building and constructing and providing. That's where they stray away from that. As a 30-year-old black woman with a flat stomach, I'm mad. You're single with no kids, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so for all the black males out there and whatnot, because y'all need some motivation. So there's a black female. She's 30. She's got a flat stomach, and there's never been a fetus in it. TBA has – are you not entertained? I brought you home some more fresh meat. Now, Stephanie, that being the case, what do you feel about the males who approach you with that type of mindset?
Well, I take – if a guy comes and approach me, I take him through the ringer. I ask him a bunch of questions, and I always end it with my little famous line, "What are you doing with your life?" If it's something that I don't approve of, then I kind of just take them through to let them know kind of what I expect. And if they don't meet, well, I call it basically, you know, I have standards, and that's what I let them know. And if they don't meet the standards, then I feel like I'm in a place of my life where I can continue on with or without you. So if they don't contribute and if they don't have anything to offer, then they can just keep walking.
How do you feel about guys, and I'm going to keep asking this tonight because I'm trying to make a point here to the fellows who ain't getting it. How do you feel when you go to groups and some genius has posted up a picture of some white girl's rear end, and he's telling you that if you don't act right, he will trade in for a different model? What do you feel when you see memes and pictures like that? Does that motivate you to realize that you're messing up and you get with the program?
I know I'm not messing up. I feel like they need to get it together because, like you said, I feel like I've gotten to the place in my life where you can do whatever you feel, but I know who I am, and I know what I expect. And you're not going to move me to try to shame me into thinking that, oh, well, I need to be like her because I'm me.
Well, but when they try to use that as, I guess, a shaming tactic, how effective do you think – I mean, how effective is that with you? Does that make you feel any type of way?
Not at all. Because if that was the case, then I can just flip it all around on them and, be like, well, this guy over here has this, this, and this. What do you have?
Well, I'm, what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, if he's going to compare me to, you know, this picture of this white woman and stuff, then why can't I compare him to someone else? And they always use the line that, you know, I'm different and you can't compare me to other people. So why would the same rules not apply?
Well, you know, but even with that notwithstanding, though, Stephanie, even with that notwithstanding, even if there were no white males on the planet, okay?
Okay.
How would you feel if there were no such species as the white male, okay? There was just black men. Now, there are white women, mm-hmm. black women, Hispanic women, and Asian women, but no white women. I mean, no white males. How would that go down with you then?
Well, what it really boils down to, Jason, is, and like I said, in the position that I am, I want the best of the best. And if you don't bring certain things, then you're off my list. If, you know, I have this whole thing, like, you need to get rid of yourself if you don't, you know, meet my standards.
How many black men are you meeting in your age group who are actually serious about, who are about serious about something other than sexual activity? Be honest with us.
Well, I'm from a small town, so it's not that many black men here. And the ones that are here are not doing anything with their lives, really. So.
Well, you know, that could be anywhere in America, though, to be totally honest with you here. That's the thing about this. Not like it's unique to South Carolina or North Carolina or whatever the case might be there. It's not like it's unique to any of those. That's the real problem that I find here. That's the real problem that I find. Now, being 30 years older, might I ask, what is your opinion? And be honest here, because we all know what I think, but you're a female, and they'll listen to you more than they will to me because you're a female, because black men respect ovaries. They don't respect intelligence. So, not saying that you're not intelligent, but ovaries trump intelligence in the black male society today. So, but I'm not trying to bias your statement here. So what I want to know is, as a black female, you tell me, what is your disposition? Because I want the fellas out there to hear this, and I want you to articulate it. Don't just repeat what I'm saying. Honestly, what is your disposition towards black men as a group today?
Uh-oh.
All right. Oh, goodness. I need black men to do better. When, as far as approaching me, whenever they want to talk to me, a lot of times they don't stimulate me mentally. And so that's where the whole intelligence thing come in. I need a guy that's intelligent. You need to mentally stimulate my mind, get me to thinking about different things. A lot of guys don't do that. And it's like, I did catch a part of what Moni was saying yesterday, and the whole, you know, you read too much. And I've had guys say, you think too much. And, you know, just, and it's like, of course, you know, when they be like, well, you think too much. And I'm like, well, you don't think enough. And so it's this whole battle of, you know, them not doing, or, you know, they want you to pay for half a meal, or they want you to pay for the full thing. And it's like, no, I'm not going to do that. Like, I just got out of a relationship with this guy, and it was he took me out on a date, which he had me driving, but whatever. And then he called and was like, well, we need to go out again. And so I was like, okay. And he was like, well, are you going to pay for the movie? And so I was like, well, let me see what movie I want to watch. And he was like, well, I'm the man, so I get to choose the movie. So I'm like, so you want me to pay for the movie, and then you want to choose the movie? So, what, Melissa,
did you say that he had you drive him?
Yes, which I had an issue with that, but.
So here's the thing that I find a lot. You're right. I, in my experience also, I am not mentally stimulated by the majority of black males. For whatever reason, we keep giving it a pass.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we,
well, because it's like, I don't know.
And you know what? You know what, it, in my opinion, you know what it is, Stephanie? I feel like that's common among men.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's a situation where it's like, you know, well, how much am I going to have to put up with this time? You know,
mm-hmm.
because as you said earlier, many black men to do better. I agree.
They are lacking in a lot, and it's sad. And I, like I said, I don't want to lower my standards because, you know, in my mind,
well, let me ask you
something
here, though, Stephanie. Let me ask you something here first, okay?
Because
I know you're about to regale us with a little anecdote, and I really want that. But a back thing what you said about the guy who wanted to pay half or to pay for the bill or whatever, what was wrong with that? Why were you against that?
Well, because it's one of those things, like the same guy, when I had spent the month in Mexico or whatnot, when I got back, you know, he was talking about, you know, marriage and whatnot. Well, before I left, I actually talked with one of my friends, and I was telling him, because a lot of times whenever I want to go out with him and stuff, he would always be like, well, I only have $30 in my account. And so that was his reason for not taking me out and stuff. So I was talking to another one of my guy friends, and he was saying that, you know, his mama told him that I can be broke by myself, basically. I don't need anybody to help me be poor. I can be poor by myself. And so that kind of resonated with me while I was in Mexico. And, you know, I sat down and I did some thinking, and it was this thing like, okay, this guy mismanages his money. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't balance his budget or anything. And I, you know, I have a pretty idea of how to balance my, but, you know. And so it's like, okay, so if we were to actually get married, then, you know, I would need to be in control of our finances to make sure that we're not poor and, you know, that we have enough. And so it was like, my mind went back to the whole conversation of him saying, well, I'm the man, so I, you know, X, Y, Z. And so it was like, okay, well, then he's not going to want me to control the finances. And also he always made the comments, well, you got the money and da, 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 da. Well, in my mind, I was like, well, if we get married and, you know, I have my saving account over here, then I'm going to feel obligated if he asks me for money to withdraw the money and give it to him. And I'm like, that will lead me to be poor.
Stephanie, I have a question. Do you feel like he has lost power in the relationship when he can't be financially responsible?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Well, okay, now that only comes
like,
into play one way, though, Stephanie. Are you looking for a man to be in charge in your relationship, or are you looking to be co-in charge?
No, I really want him to be in charge. And it was an example that somebody gave as far as, you know, I think I was in church, and she was saying, they were, you know, giving relationship advice and stuff, and she was saying, you know, a lot of times the women say they want a man to lead, but, you know, the women basically kind of go on their own separate mission. You know, they want to do this and they want to do that, but the man is like saying, you know, follow me, but the woman is still trying to lead and not necessarily letting the man take the lead. And I'm willing to fall back and let him lead, but you have to show me that you're someone I need to follow.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, okay? Because Melissa got to the real point. You said it went down to Mexico. The problem that you had was that your folks told you that you can be broke by yourself. You know what? That's old Negro black fat mammy thinking, okay? Leave that to the side. That is not the reason that a man asking you to pay for a meal is a problem. The problem is that if this man, I'd be broke by myself. Mom, fat your mama. You can be broke with a rich person too, okay? And you can be rich by yourself also. Something that you cannot do on your own. You cannot be led. You cannot have someone who is capable of leading. That's one thing you can't do by yourself. And if he's not capable of, you were saying, he's not responsible with his finances, think of it more this way. If he is capable of leading your household's finances, because remember, when you start talking about seriously dating somebody, he's auditioning. And she's auditioning too. You're a female, so we're going to talk about the guys. He is auditioning for the part, the role of head of your household. He's submitting his application. And you have to size him up on every level, mentally, spiritually, if that matters to you, emotionally, psychically, mechanically, financially, educationally, intellectually. You have to size him up on all those levels, on all those different metrics. And we live in a world that runs on money. That money is going to the roof over your head. And if he is inept with his money, that is going to affect your life directly and also a bellwether. If he doesn't care that he's impoverished, then he's not going to care that you are impoverished. And the question you need to ask yourself, do I want to live my whole life not caring if I'm in poverty? That is why his ability or inability, his willingness or unwillingness to pay for this meal, he is auditioning, because it's a proven fact. It is a fact. And you fellas out there need to understand, it's a fact. The guys who have the most pushback and give the most resistance, talking all this garbage about, we can go Dutch, he doesn't give that up when he starts dating you. And he doesn't get up when he marries you. When it's time to pay the bills, he still expects you, Stephanie, he expects you to be the one who is resourceful to make money, not him. And you can't really say that you upset or surprised, because when he was auditioning, he told you then, wait a minute, that, I'm like Mac Dre, that's not my job. Pay these bills, that's not my job. That's your job.
And now that's why I let him go.
So that's the part that's problematic, Stephanie. Understand it in its proper context. It's the old blues song. The problem is not that you can get the lyrics to the blues song correct. The problem is that he expected his woman, he's telling his woman that you will be responsible for being more financially adept. And that's perfectly fine if you don't mind having a man that you will be leading. Oh, yeah, one more thing. Remember all those things I said before, mentally, spiritually, intellectually? I also wanted to include physically. And if you all get in a situation where somebody has to protect the other, don't be surprised when he expects you to take the lead then, too, just like you did with the finances. Remember? You're the leader. Remember. I'll let you have the last word, sister.
Well, all I can say is thank you and Black First.
Black First, sister, thank you very much for joining us here tonight. Telephone call, the telephone lines here are slammed and jammed. You are tuned in to the blackpanel.net radio, the home of intelligent black thought. This is the only place for intelligent, enlightened, intellectual conversation here and around the world. Join. The telephone number is 646-787-193, 646-787-1933. It's your personal access code. The blackest radio program in existence, the only of its kind on planet Earth today. Caller from the 614, you're on live with the blackchannel.net radio.
Hey, how's it going, TBA?
What's your name? Where are you calling from? Okay, what's your name? Where are you calling from? Okay, what's your name?
From Plymouth, Ohio.
Okay, stop talking. What is your name?
I'm Sante Bay.
Hello, Mr. Bay. What's
on
your mind?
All right. Doing all right. This one here is more so directed towards Melissa and her page. Now, her and I, we had a situation earlier today dealing with some of her, quote-unquote, band club members. And it kind of rubbed me the wrong way dealing with how the black male mentality is today. Because, I mean, her page is more so about building and education and whatnot. But, and this isn't a slam on her or anything, but it seems like a lot of the men that are on her page are just there because she has a pretty face, and they think that they might eventually luck up on something. I don't know. And
that is exactly the issue that I had.
Exactly.
And that's the issue that she's had, too. As a matter of fact, she's a bit more soft-spoken about me, but that is, you're exactly articulating precisely the problem.
Right.
All they're here, they're as usual, when dealing with black men, as usual, for all the wrong reasons.
All the wrong reasons. I mean, let me explain the problem for those who don't know.
Alexander post?
Yes, it was the Melissa Alexander post, where for months now, people like us have been posting the truth about this girl's situation, how she was the instigator, how she started everything. I don't want to really speak on Rico Gray and her husband Lincoln because, I mean, we already know what type of men they are, which I guess is the embodiment of black male society today. But the whole thing was, we're giving them the information, we're giving them the truth, and they're flat out ignoring it. Okay? They're flat out ignoring it and just taking her word for it in CNN and whatever other liberal media channel you want to throw in there as fact. When we're like, read the court documents. She deserves her sentence. And the 60 years that she might get is because of with them wanting to retry the case, she violated her restrictive orders, because, she's out on house arrest right now, she was, and she violated it. So they're like, wait a minute, we can't trust you. Never mind that she never should have gotten a retrial in the first place, but it was disturbing to watch so many men all over social media, when I was posting this information, say, she's a black woman. She was abused. She was beaten. And all of the rhetoric that comes along with the lie. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, okay, well, look, here's the information. Read it. They refuse to read it. Here's the video. Watch the video. They refuse to watch the video. But yet, on the same token, because I'm not defending the whole situation, I'm the simp. I'm the weakling, okay? I'm the, what did that one guy call me, Melissa? He called me a bastard baby maker. Never mind it, I have no children.
I'm kind of wondering, okay. Yeah. I'm going to trademark.
Okay, that was incredibly funny.
That was unbelievable. Stop with the mollies.
Yeah, he was a blaring idiot. I don't know where that came from.
Right, and I really held my temper.
Pot calling the kettle black. Y'all sitting up here complaining, but making bastard babies. I was like, what?
No. That's not the pot calling the kettle black. That's the pot calling the kettle a fork. I mean, basically what's going on. This guy needs to learn what the pot, kettle, and everything else is in the kitchen.
Well, what it was, okay, like with a lot of black men today, because they have this welfare mentality, because they were raised by welfare queens, instead of arguing the points and the facts, he wanted to have a pissing contest. And I'm like,
well,
that's
the backwards, unfocused, schizophrenic, crackbaby mentality we have now. You know,
exactly.
Nobody can stay on topic, and everybody's all over the place. Can we please just talk about this? No, and there always has to be some sort of other deviation.
And I have to attribute that to home training because, all right, I went to a Catholic school, And then for like up until third grade, and then I went to a public school after that. You won't ask me why. But my mother made sure that I could comprehend a sentence. All right? She made sure that I formulated, also my father, they made sure that I could formulate my thoughts correctly and actually say what I mean and mean what I say. So many black men and women, they get so off point and so unfocused and just lack comprehension of the subject matter to where it's frustrating, to where you don't even want to talk to them. Because you know they're going to hit you with nothing but with garbage and gibberish, and you're sitting there, and they wind up misleading you away from your subject matter. Like, what was it? It was Melissa Harris Perry's show. They were talking about the new Obama campaign with the $200 million for the men of color, which really raised a red flag with me. And
I don't trust anybody that would put tampons on her on his earrings anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of speaks to mental or emotional imbalance there. But Monsante, I didn't know if you had had an opportunity here, because I want to make sure that we, among things, about what we're talking about here tonight, that black men in particular here, and I want to talk about the men tonight, that what you were saying before, they are totally focused. They're focused all right, but they're focused on the wrong things. They don't go anywhere beyond sex. I mean, they've made it so obvious where Melissa is concerned that, you know, she's going to have to start taking out a restraining order against some people out there. And this is what they get animated out. This is what they get motivated out. Meanwhile, George Zimmerman and Michael Dunn are walking the streets, gunning down the children. The police are gunning down the men. That I can't keep them interested in for any amount of time. But chasing some draws, we can have them on that daily.
TBA, on that point, some guy made a post about what's going on in Ukraine, and he was so proud of the Ukraine soldiers marching towards the Russian army with no weapons and singing and whatnot. And he was so happy about that. And I said, but yet here in America, white men gun down black teenagers, and we do nothing. And a white guy posted right behind me, pointing up to me, talking about, "Well, see, you're what's wrong with America." And I'm like, because I'm not an obedient slave? Like, you know what? I am what's wrong with America, because I don't kowtow.
If you define America as a place where you just do what you're told and walk along with the drones, then yes. I mean, that, I guess you are what's wrong with the drone perspective or vision of America. Now, if you're talking about free thinker, in your own best interest, then you're everything that's right.
Exactly.
Let you go ahead and have the last word, brother.
Just want to say to you, Melissa, Tommy, everybody else, hey, you got to keep up the fight, because I understand why some of my elders have disappeared, because they felt that it was a useless fight. It felt outnumbered, and I see it and I feel it, but we can't give up. We can't quit. We can't. Right first.
Brother, thank you very much for joining us here tonight. The telephone number is 646-787-1933. 646-787-1933 is your personal access code to the Blackest Radio program on the planet. We are having a reality check tonight. So for those of you who are not accustomed to that idea, especially for black males and whatnot, they wanted to hear from you, but it seems they're not very happy with what you had to say. So since we've to know that, yes, we do know that some individuals are out there with ulterior motives, we let them speak to you tonight, and they don't seem quite so happy to hear from you anymore. What I said before, there's a psychosexual thing going on. And don't you tell people, I don't know, you tell me if I'm making it up, what's your inbox been like since you started, since last weekend when you started showing up here? What has your inbox been like?
active every few minutes. It's something, and you know, a lot of it is things that could have been said publicly, but a lot of it are things that shouldn't have been sent privately, if I could be gentle about it.
They say things about your videos.
Yeah, some of them. It's mostly, you know, about looks. And where do you live, and I think you're fantastic, and you know, it's just things of that nature.
Okay, and does that start making you endeared to them or anything like that? Is that having an effect? Well, if it's having an effect, what effect is it having?
It's not having an effect. I probably ignore 99% of what comes through.
You mean you're not swooning?
Not swooning at all. Uh-huh. There's swooning going on over here.
Okay, well, I guess they'll figure it, they'll just keep trying. So isn't that something? Now, just out of curiosity, what would it take to make you swoon, I wonder?
Oh, an intelligent conversation, goals that he is actually in the process of attaining. They're not just, you know, on the shelf waiting there for spontaneous combustion. A mindset to want to build something rather than, you know, work every day until you die. I don't consider that to be a fun life. You know, I actually would like to enjoy myself one day, and I plan on building something that'll make money for me that I can give to my children when I die. So, you know, it's very hard to find that in black men. All of those things. At this point, it's not about sex. You know, it's not about stunning good looks. You know, it's about where's your head at? What do you want to do in life? Where do you want to go with yourself? And you don't find a lot of drive or intelligence.
Usually the answer to that question, where you go with yourself, is usually back to your place.
Exactly. Oh, on the couch, you know. Well, okay, but is that all you want here? You know, what do you want in your own life? Where are you trying to be? Everything can't be about success.
Well, I bet. Telephone lines are now open. Caller from the 314. You're on live with the BlackChannel.net radio.
Hello.
What's your name? Where are you calling from?
It's Ariel from St. Louis.
Ariel, I told you I was going to get you on.
Yep, you sure did.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. What I wanted to ask was really for both of you, actually. I want to hear what Melissa has to say. This is for both of you. So I go to school with a lot of simple-minded kids. I mean, I'm not saying I'm the most brightest or the best. I do think that I'm better than most of my kids. But anyways, they all say I have an old soul, or most of the people I know say I have an old soul. Is that a bad thing, or is that a good thing, or is it kind of like a in-between?
No, not a bad thing at all. Well, I don't think it's a bad thing at all. I've been hearing it since 8 years old. I've been hearing older than my years for since I was 8 years old. I've been hearing it ever since then, right at the time after I started entering public school. As I mentioned last night, you know, most of my girlfriends in my whole, not most of them, well, no, most of my girlfriends my whole life have been at least 10 years older than me, and as much as 18 years older than me, my whole life.
Okay.
And I'm talking about from the time I was 16, 19, 20 feet. I mean, it didn't even bother me when they said, is that your mom? You know, it didn't even bother me. That only happened with one of them, but with the rest of them, that didn't happen with. But there was only one of them. And, like, she was one who was 18 years older than I was. But here's the thing. I mean, she had her own Lexus and her own ranch, so it wasn't the thing that attracted me. But she had a good mind on her. She was just... Well, we're not going to get my personal business, but I'm just saying she needs somebody. She just didn't need me. But, I mean, it's one of those things where I didn't mind that at all because I've had a stability in that. You are much more about your business is what they're saying. You're not often frivolous things. You have to understand what they're really saying. It's like when somebody when a Negro today tells you that you're talking white, you have to understand that to the Negro, being literate is a major accomplishment. So when they say you're talking white, what that means, that's a euphemism for you are fully literate. That's what
mm-hmm.
that means. So
I figured that out by now.
That's a compliment. That's an awe. That's a wonderment thing. That's an astounding thing is what it is. That's
oh, okay. All right, good. Because I hear that so much, and like everybody else, and I see, and when I think of that, I think, okay, let me figure out what I'm trying to say here. Every time I hear that, I'm like, dang, what do you mean? Like, am I too old for you guys? Am I better than you guys? Is that your secret admitting? Because when they say it, I know they're trying to say like, oh, you're boring. You're not fun. You're not adventurous. You're not like us. I'm not. I've been too many cities. I mean, not cities, but too many towns, moved too much to be like you guys. I lived in a small town once with mostly white people, and I went to a middle school like that. And I learned things are different there. And so I don't act the same as them. Probably better. Don't want to admit it, but probably better than them. And now I realize, okay, that's a good thing.
Now, why don't you tell everybody how old you are, Ariel?
I'm 16 years old.
She is 16 years old. So, now there's a point that I wanted to make there for you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry. When you are getting your life together, criticism is going to need to turn to fuel for you.
Yeah,
you're
right. You
are going to have to learn how to take everything that people say and turn into fuel for you. Not to be stupid, I'm doing the wrong thing, but I'm just going to get it as a compliment. Like these fat gals who sit up here and talk about, y'all just make it look sexy. Baby, you're built like a pile of Play-Doh.
I get that, because you know what?
Don't be silly with it, but you do want to make sure that when you're doing the right thing, understand something. Especially as a young black person, male or female, but as a young black person, they're not used to that. People are not used to a young black person who is serious about their lives. That's a novel thing to them. So they're a little bit awestruck about you. That's what it is. They're awestruck. They're not really sure what to make of you. But so you need to know what to make of yourself, especially your age, because as older men, in your case, older is basically 21, as they see that you're not a stupid female who's off getting into a bunch of mess, they are going to try to dogpile you. They're not already, which I'm sure they probably are. They are going to try to try all kinds of mess as quickly as they can to derail you. You need to have a goal, and you need to be like Venus and Serena Williams, all about your goal. And the more progress you make towards that, the better evaluating people in your life you're going to be able to be.
Yes, I understand. Matter of fact, I would say best friend, I mean, we're really close, closer than my so-called best friend. Me and my friend Tiffany, best friend at that, we're going on a diet thing. Matter of fact, tomorrow. She's already started. I'm starting with her because I'm going to admit I'm fat. I don't care. I admit it now. I'm fat. So we are bettering ourselves, and I realize that she you know, can talk the way of black people, you know, regular teenagers. She has Ebonics, or she talks ghetto or whatever, but she's on a different mindset. She's on, like, my type of mindset. And I kind of like that you said that, you said about, you know, when you're working things out, people are going to be awestruck. Because I realize all the time my friends that aren't going anywhere that, you know, don't do anything, when Tiffany says, oh, I lost 2 pounds, and, oh, yeah, I went to this, they're always like, oh, you're always going to the gym. You're always trying to exercise. You're always trying to better yourself. You're always trying to not better yourself. They don't say it like that because that would be jealous. But they always say, you're always going to do healthy stuff. But that's good, though. Like, I get it. I get it completely.
Stay on your goal, and these are characteristics, because at this point in your life, even if you don't know exactly what you want to do with life, that's okay as long as you're getting the character traits that will get you there. I'm much more concerned about you acquiring your character, because that's what will carry you through your life, as opposed to, well, do you know exactly what you want to do right now? I'm much more concerned about your character as a person, because I can give you all the money in the world and, like, PD and Oprah and most of the dudes in the NBA, you will be worthless to us if that cash doesn't come with character also. I'll let you out with the last words, sir.
I just wanted to say thank you for all you, you know, all your advice and things like that. I wanted to talk to Melissa, but, you know, I don't want to waste any more time.
Well, if you'd like, if you'd like to ask her a question, you can. Now, you can't we can't do the Oprah show here, but, I mean, if you want to ask her a question, you can.
Okay. Miss Melissa, this might seem like a very basic question. I'm sorry to ask, but braids. Now, I know that hair coloring, things like that, like blonde and all that, is whitewashing. I've heard that a lot. I don't color my hair. I did that once, like three. I did three of my braids blonde. It was weird. I don't do coloring because I mess it up every time, and I don't think it's necessary. But what about braids? Is braids a type of thing that girls, that women, black women use to make it seem like they're worse? Because I always hear Jason say about how fatter girls always get big hairstyles to cover up their fatness. That's why I ask for braids, because I have braids, and when I notice it, I'm like, well, I'm saying I have braids, and he's kind of right, but at the same time, am I doing okay? I mean,
yeah,
seriously, that's how I think. That's how I think.
He has a hair question. Okay. Melissa.
Sorry, I'm sorry. I know it's
you're
kind
such
of
a girl.
But...
You're such a girl. Yeah.
So what is your specific question about the braids, dear? Braids and being overweight? What did you want to ask?
Is it like whitewashing? Is that a bad thing? Braids? Because I have micro braids right now, and I'm also fat, and I see it. And I'm like, okay, I have these big braids, and now I look like a black stereotype, big girl with the big hair, and I don't know. I don't know. It just stresses me out because I see his post.
Wait,
and, you know.
I'm kind of running up on the top of the hour here. But the question that you're trying to find out is, are you trying to figure out whether or not you should keep your braids in or not? Is that what you're trying to find out?
I want to know if they're acceptable. Is it a good thing? Is it okay to have braids? Because, I mean, I know I'm not making much sense of my question.
No, you're really not. No. You might want to type this letter, to be totally honest with you. Look, your hair is not your biggest problem here, okay? What I'm saying is that the reason I put up that post, and Melissa will verify what I'm saying here, so don't worry about that. The reason why it's a problem about the hair thing is because black women will spend 10 hours a week at the hair salon and will not spend 5 minutes at a gym. They will let their hairstylist work her arms and biceps, work on her head, as if that's somehow going to distract us from the fact that she's built like the Hamburglar in Grimace. That's the problem that with the hair thing, is that they think that's a substitute for actually working out, just the way that black men think being good in bed is a substitute for building something.
Yes.
Now, my good friend Jennifer Miranda, you will have probably seen her on my Facebook. If you haven't, go ahead and take a look at her. She's like a brick house. If you haven't seen her, she's got a world-class fitness competition. She's been in fitness competition. You all can go see her on my Facebook, Jennifer Miranda. I'm going to see about having her on this weekend, as a matter of fact. That's right. It's Ladies Week here on the channel. And she's got micro braids. So what I'm saying is that that didn't stop her from getting what she wanted to be. It's not your hair that's the problem. Once again, the attitude behind it. If you're trying to use your hair to conceal something, that's the problem. Kids, it doesn't matter if you got micro braids, a Mini Cooper, a flat top fade, or a bald head. As long as the rest of you are okay, the man didn't notice. And I want to be real with you about that. When was the last time that you heard a man say, look at her hair? The only time we do that is when females ask us about hair. If you just walk up to us, you go ask the last dude who saw a fine-looking chick walk through the store, ask him what hairstyle she had. I promise you, there are two things he did not notice. The two things that women care about most, hair and shoes. And those are the two things that a man never remembers about a woman, her hair and her shoes. And if you don't believe me, ask Melissa. She'll even verify that for you. Thank you very much for giving us a call here, Ariel. Do check in with us again. That was big girly. That's what I get for having all this
on the show
around here. a black channel just turned into a hair channel.
Too many ovaries.
We got a call that's been waiting here for a while now. Let me go ahead and grab them. Caller from the 718. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Hello?
Yes, what's your name? Where you calling from?
Hi, my name is Nivea Jones, and I didn't really get your name. I just started listening late. Well, not too late, but I didn't get your name. But I do commend you for most of the things you were saying in terms of, you know, black men having to be focused, and you know they are the head. I was actually having a conversation earlier with someone, and, you know, I definitely agree, you know, the relations between black men and black women are so askew and so out of control because no one wants to take accountability for the things that's happening, you know, with us. And I say us because we cannot exist without one another. So when, and what I find is that you have a lot of fingers being pointed and no one wants to, like I said, take accountability and move forward and figure out solutions on how we as a race can become better people. So, you know, I really just want to commend you for what you were saying earlier. And Melissa, you know, your videos, I mean, I only saw about two or three of them. I commend you too in a certain aspect, but one of my main questions to you is, like, are you surrounded by nothing but negative black women, or like, do you have like a innate disdain for black females, or what is it exactly? Because I don't think
what
you
had that impression.
Just the video, you know. I just felt like it was just overtly negative.
So in the video I said directly all black women are this way, and
I'm
surrounded by
I said it was a question. I didn't know if you were.
Yeah, the question,
it was a question
being prompted. The question that she's saying though is that question prompted by what? What did you see or hear that gave
you
that impression?
Exactly.
Because we were on the freeway, and instead of waiting for the off-ramp, you just flew off at the next bridge. So we're trying to find out, well, what did you see that made you drive off the freeway like that?
But wait, before you answer that question, I'm sorry, I didn't get your name again. I'm the host. I just want
to Well, this is the Black Channel. You can refer to me as Mr. Black Authority. My mom.
Okay, no
but
problem.
The question that we were asking here, no, she calls me black. But the question that we're asking here was that, the question that she was asking was, you flew to a conclusion that seems placed on a bias, but not based on what you actually heard or saw. So what was that you heard and saw that led you to, this person must be surrounded by nothing but negative women?
Well, like
give us
I
a
said,
quote.
Just a different...
Well, quote for us what you heard. Give us a quote and say, well, this sentence that she said, not what I thought or what I felt. This sense that she said made me feel that she's surrounded, might be surrounded by nothing but negative women.
Well, just the overall, like I said, the overall connotation of the video, I can't replay the video right now, but, you know, like I said, just in terms of what inspired you to make that video, was it the constant twerking that you saw on Facebook? I mean, that's all I wanted to know, what inspired you in terms of, was it an image that you saw that day, a conversation you had that day? Was it just the over, you know, expressions on Facebook, or, you know, what was it for you?
Well, in the video, I spent the first few minutes talking about my experiences, yet still people ask me what inspired the video.
Mm-hmm.
There are black women in my
family. I mean, feel free to reiterate, because like I said, I can watch the video if you want to put me on hold, but like I said, feel free to reiterate.
Well, I talked about my own family. I talked about on the internet. I talked about my personal experiences. That's where this comes from. I didn't, you know, pull it out of nowhere one day and just start talking, you know, black women are this, that, and the third. It's a general thing. And not only do I see the women behaving that way, I see a lot of the men saying, hey, you're behaving this way and we don't like it. And it just, I just wonder, you know, I'm seeing this in my family. I'm seeing this in my extended family. I'm seeing this in my neighborhoods and online. And what is the problem? What is the issue?
Okay, so when this is happening around you, per se, with your family members, do you step in? Do you interject? Do you know why they're that way? Because I don't think
sadly,
a lot of people.
It was so long ago. Sadly, it was so long ago that they I gave up on trying to bring them together.
Okay.
I tried a few times, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we're not talking about teenagers here. I mean, we're talking about senior citizens, okay? So it's not even a situation where you can step in with Dr. Phil corrective action. I mean, these people got socks that are older than Melissa. So at this point,
these were wrong folks.
Yeah, that's why she said relatives. Oh. Mean, but trying to correct the cast of He-Haw is not going to happen at this point in our lives. Now, here's the other problem that I have, which is said there being. Where are you from?
I'm from New York.
Okay.
Is that I live in New York. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which borough?
Queens.
Okay.
I was born in Brooklyn.
Because here's the thing here. Mm-hmm. Said, well, is she surrounded by black women, bad black women, or what? It's like, tell me where this, I mean, because you're saying that as if there's something else out there. So maybe you can tell us all where this really rocking, jiving, on-point enclave of black women is, leads you to the impression that there's something different out there. Maybe you can tell us all something we haven't seen.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
The question you asked her was about, was she surrounded by negative black women, and what did she see that day that led her to make those videos? Tell us what you've seen that made you think that video was anything other than accurate.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm around females that are positive. I mean, I'm not constantly around them, but I'm sorry?
Where? I asked you before, where? Tell us where this enclave of on-point sensible black women is, because we all are having a lot of difficulty finding if they even exist as individuals, and you're trying to make believe that there's a whole group of them or a geographic area that contains them. So tell us something you don't know, because you said you're in Queens, and I got plenty of people who are in my chat room and on the phone right now who will dispute what you're saying about Queens. So we can't just sit here and make things up. So you have to tell us where exactly are you talking about.
Make things up. So I'm sorry. So wait a minute. So there are no positive black women on the planet, much less Queens?
Unfortunately, I'm one. No. Mm-hmm. Did anybody say no positive black women? Did anybody say no? You jumped to conclusions a lot. Did somebody say there are no positive black women? Because I'm trying to figure out why did you.
No, you're saying that I'm making things up. So
yes,
I'm just trying to understand why you said I'm making things up. Like,
because you said I'm from Queens. And that, then you said, well, I'm not surrounded by that. Okay, but you're by you even questioning.
Well, when I say
like,
I'm not surrounded by it, I mean
Vivian.
I don't have like
Excuse
a mass
Vivian, you're
of female
going to have to hold
friends.
On for just a moment, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, because you can't understand anything just yet. I understand your point. You don't understand mine. I've got plenty of people on this phone and in this chat room from New York. You said you're from Queens. The fact that you questioned the validity of the statements she was making in that video, the fact that you questioned the sourcing of and the motivation behind the fact you did that means that you are calling into question that is the default situation on the street as a group, down to a man or down to a woman, but as a group. The videos that she has made have been absolutely on point of black women as a group. Now, if you've seen something different, I'm telling you, name for me a geographic place that you're referring to where that's not the rule. Because if you're going to be here and say Queens, I got a bunch of people, including myself, because I just came back to New York
last year. Am I still on the line?
I'm going to ask
Seth for me to hold on. Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. I'm asking you to hold on and listen.
I didn't know if I was on hold, like if you had muted the line. Okay,
Vivian,
go ahead.
You don't listen very well, do you, Vivian?
No,
you
it's Nivea.
Well
it's Nivea, actually. So
okay.
I'm sorry. I guess
Vivian,
you don't listen.
You mean like the water?
Very well.
You mean like the water?
Yes.
You know,
Nivea, actually,
out.
Nivea like the lotion.
Yes. Nivea inside is naive.
I'm sorry. Look, see, and that's the funny thing, because you're deflecting.
You're
deflecting because
you
asked me where I live, where I reside in, and I said I resided in Queens, and now you're trying to berate me and overtalk me. Really? Why is that?
Queens is not some enclave of intelligent black thought.
Oh, really?
As demonstrated by her right there. Now,
I'm sorry, it's demonstrated by who?
Where are these on-point black women? I'm one of them. Did you hear her?
I'm sorry. So because I don't have a barrage of black women, women from Queens calling in, is that what you want? Do you want me to gather a bunch of black women to call in?
Melissa put in the video that black women need to learn how to shut up and be quiet.
You can shut up.
Nivea
came and asked her a question, and Melissa answered, and I thank her for that.
She didn't speak to us that she is not what Melissa said in her videos by immediately demonstrating the exact behavior.
Oh, stop it! Because I'm actually listening to you, and you're actually trying to touch a button because you want me to be what Melissa mentioned in the video, and it's not working. You want me to be what Melissa mentioned in the video, and it's not working. But like I said, thank you, Melissa, for telling me what actually inspired your video once again. Thank you for reiterating.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Melissa. I guess we're supposed to be arguing with each other, Melissa, but unfortunately it's not happening. But like I said to him, he's focusing on the fact that I reside. He's focusing on the fact that I reside in Queens, but the topic of his show is about black men. So let's refocus.
Anybody who's got any wondering about that. Queens is not Midtown Manhattan.
Do you want it to be Midtown Manhattan? Will that shift your focus, sweetheart? Do you want it to be Midtown Manhattan? Do you want it to be does he want it to be the newly gentrified Brooklyn? Is that what you want it to be? I mean, what's your point?
There is no enclave of on-point black women anywhere in America.
Really?
And there is no enclave of
the last time I checked, there was
ambitious black men in America. Any man who tells you that he found a place like that, a black man in America, is lying because he can't show you.
Ooh.
And any female
There are a few black men out there that are doing their thing, and they're very, you know, they're just a little frustrated. The same way the females are frustrated, the men are frustrated too.
We're not living in a fairy tale world.
Hey, you got to make it.
I took her off hold. Did you all know that I had her mic silenced? And did you all know that I just took it off the silence and you heard she was talking? She's been talking to herself now for the last 2 minutes. She's been sitting there jawboning to herself for the last 2 minutes. She didn't even notice that nobody could hear her. And it didn't bother her. She's been sitting there squawking the whole time to nobody but herself. Caller, you're on the line with the Black Channel.
Hey, what's going on, Jason?
What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Dave. I'm calling from Los Angeles, California.
What's on your mind, black man?
Hey, I wanted to be real quick, but I think the number one thing that black men can do is hold off on having kids until they're at least 28, I would say.
And I would agree.
Know your thoughts on that.
I think men are very reckless with their sperm. I think
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, dear.
No, I was at my situation is I had a child at 19, and to get where I'm at 33 took a hell of a lot of work, and I feel as though, you know, right now I could be a lot further than, you know, where I'm actually at. So.
Well, I mean, if you have children too early in life, I mean, if you're having children between the ages of 10 and 19, then, yeah, you're probably having them way too early. I mean, not that 19 was the magic number. I mean, it's you're just too damn early. For me personally, I mean, 28 is a good area there. But to be totally honest with you, it would depend on the circumstances to a certain degree. Are you mentally mature enough? Are you financially stable? are you motivated to be able to deal with everything else? John, I'll let you deal with naive in the chat room however you want to. That'll be up to you. But she needs to understand that, you know, that's going to be a different matter there. I can go ahead and mod anybody else I need to, by the way. But if I were her, I would just recommend that she mind her manners. But as we as men need to understand that it's not really a matter of whether or not we're going to what age you're having children at, just how prepared you are, the real thing. How prepared are you? Okay, Dave, slow down for a moment because you asked me a question. That's why you called me and I didn't call you. You had children too early. 28 is not the problem. The fact that you were not socioeconomically prepared to take care of a new life, that was what created the problem. That's the answer to your question.
I agree wholeheartedly. So, that's just, you know, something I wanted to say really quick.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for joining us, brother, here at the Blackchannel.net radio. We're going to go ahead and bring a caller from the 540. You're on the line with Blackchannel.net radio.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Zion Sin in Roanoke, Virginia.
Hi, Zion.
What's on your mind, black man?
First off, wanted to say black first. I had
black
been
first,
listening
brother.
For the past 3 broadcasts, and I conducted a social experiment with 2 of my coworkers and 2 of people that I go to college with. Listening on to it, it was 2 black females, 2 black dudes, and, you know, it was 2 different spectrums from what I heard listened to. From one side, the females lauded and applauded you for bringing the whole thing of, well, us as black men are not building. And some of the black dudes and some of the people agreed with that. But at the same time, they did not like that at the same time you were downing them. And it was a revelation to me, as in what you were saying before, you know, with the responsibility of control, having another wife. I'm 24 years old, and at this moment, I'm not financially stable for myself to do so. At the last time I checked it, it's about $241,080,000 for 18 years to take care of a child for its basic needs. So that's $13,000 every year for the next 18 years until it becomes they're able to go on themselves and do what they have to do. And it's like, that's why I'm very much about, you know, about building trades and such. And as Melissa,
well, here's the real issue, though. The real issue is not, because the previous caller was a little off, the real issue is not about the kids, to be totally honest with you. The real issue is about yourself. What is your purpose in life? Do you understand or do you even know? Because if you don't have a purpose and a mission in life, that's the reason you shouldn't be having children.
Absolutely.
You don't have yourself together as a whole person. And all the money in the world isn't going to fix that. Now, you can be as together as you want to be, but if you have money, you're not prepared to be able to care for a child. Of course, we got that. But the other side of the equation is making yourself a whole person is what brings the financial ability. And we've got too many black folk who are out here, as soon as their sex organs are able to engage in sexual activity, they're out there doing that because you're leaving them on the street. But other than that, that's it. They're not doing anything beyond it for themselves. So that's the part of the equation. Having yourself together as a whole person, because if you're together as a whole person as a man, you're building. And building is a mindset that moves on to everything. You build yourself, you build your community, and you build your family. And you concentrate your energies towards excelling all those things. That's what's missing right now.
Agreed, agreed. Which is the biggest thing of, I think the biggest thing as a man at 24 years old, one thing that people say to piss them off is to say, well, you're not getting any pussy. The biggest thing a black man can say to... Exactly, exactly. A lot of people, when I say that, I'm more focused on not only achieving a way of bringing something back to my community through water irrigation and other things like that, and speaking to younger adults about the importance of education and such, they say, well, that's a square-ass nigga. You ain't getting any pussy. What are you getting that for? You know? And I'm like, what's the value? Are you really valuing something that is going to be temporary over something that could last longer?
Well, I mean, but most black men are not taught that they're building anything is the problem. So when you talk about something lasting longer, they don't have a concept of it. Venus and Serena Williams were taught to play tennis. Well, what are you telling them? You're going to be champ. How long? Long as you can. You've given a goal, and you've told what long-term is. For the average black male, tell me his goal is, tell me how what has been instilled in him by his parents, his goal.
That's
what's missing.
I agree.
I'll let you have the last word, brother.
First off, I wanted to say thank you for all the knowledge that you have given me. I've been a friend of yours, both you and Melissa. The biggest thing that I'm glad to know is that there are people that are, you know, smaller mentors to me to where I can be motivated in my goals of building. And so this is me ready to pay it forward.
Well, everybody needs to see that as their purpose. Everybody needs to see that as part of responsibility. Pay it forward is another way of saying building my legacy without waiting for an applause line. That's what paying it for really means. Thank you very much for checking in with us here tonight, brother. Back first, as always. The telephone lines are slammed and jammed in here once again. This Intelligent Black Thought. This is the BlackChannel.net radio, the place where adults, well, where intelligent adults come to converse with each other. Join us. Caller from the 646 on live with the BlackChannel.net radio.
Yeah, hello. My name is David Brass.
And where are you calling from, David?
Calling from Brooklyn, New York.
Well, you're right across the river from that enclave, intelligent black females who are so on point in Queens. Why don't you, okay, David, I was rude to Nivea earlier, I suppose. Why don't you tell us how wonderful all the black females are? Because she said that Melissa must have been a bunch of mean folk, and she told us that she was one of the intelligent, on point black women. So why don't you go ahead and how why don't you go ahead and tell us all how wrong we are right now?
I'm going to go ahead and not step on that particular landmine, and but I do want to shout out to Melissa.
I must insist.
I'll put it like this. One of the reasons that I wanted to call in was to say that I did watch Melissa's video, and when I saw it, I reposted a lot of places on Facebook, and I was actually kind of blown away that it was the reaction to it pretty much reflected exactly what was in the video, for the most part, because I'm not a fan of blanket statements, but for the most part, there were some sisters that were like, you know, I get it, I understand, and whatever.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the video. If she had said, you know, she's talking about all black women and this is without exception.
Here we go.
I could, you know, find a problem with that, but she didn't say that. She said black women, which you can take either way, and she didn't specify, so I'm not going to assume. In my experience, what she said, it held a lot of validity to it, and a lot of sisters didn't like it, including across in the enclave in Queens.
Thing about that, you know, it's like going to a mosque, okay? And they read something that I said about Muslims, you know. Can you believe this? They said that we're violent. They said that we blow people up, that we kill people and murder people. They said that we're horrible people. That's terrible. Go find that bastard and blow up his house. That was exactly what it was like for the people who didn't like her video. They said we're loud and rude and ignorant and just curse and scream and yell. I'm going to call that wench up and cuss her ass out. I mean, was exactly what we're dealing with there. So we're dealing with a mental disorder of epic and mass proportions, and black people as a group have to lose their taste and their appetite for that, because but then the other side of the equation is it's a lot easier, as I was before, it's a lot easier to insist on kind of thing if we had a group of on-point men, because the females are only going to go as wild and as crazy as the men allow it. And right now, we've told the females, hey, y'all run the yard. Well, guess what? They're running the yard. They got a pack of wild dogs. They're running the yard. So
I actually have to draw a line, though. Because in comparing and contrasting, because I've been listening to the broadcast, and I've listened to both of your viewpoints and everything, and I find it was interesting. One of the things that struck me was that Melissa's critique about women was very, it was pretty specific. It was about argumentativeness and stubbornness, which is a pretty localized criticism. Whereas I'm listening to the critiques about black men, and they're not really any different than the critiques that I hear all the time. And it's like black men can't keep their shit in their pants, they're making babies, they're worthless, they, you know, they wasting time, they're wasting their life, they're just in comparison to the litany of criticisms that black men endure on a daily basis to just the substance of our entire character. And there was such a lack of, you know, a lot of the same sisters who found so much, oh, my gosh, you're saying this about saying this. She's saying that you're stubborn and a little hard-headed, and you could learn to listen a little bit. Black men, on the other hand, and I'm including, you know, some of your criticisms as well, because I understand the motivation to want to push us to do better. But sometimes I feel like it goes over the edge, and we end up reinforcing the very cynical behavior that we want to see diminish.
Okay, we wind up reinforcing it how?
Well, there's a line between constructive criticism. You know, you can state that, you know, you're not doing this right, and you need to step your game up, and you need to, you know, correct these behaviors. But when it starts becoming a litany, and you hear the same thing. Like people say all the time, you know, kids, you know, people that influence hip-hop music is always saying, oh, bitches hoes that, bitches hoes that. People are going to get the image in their mind that black women are bitches and hoes. Guns, drugs, this, guns, drugs, that. Repeated, people are going to get it in their mind that guns and drugs is the lifestyle to live. Well, you know, black men having babies, black men are making babies, black men making babies. I understand the motivation to want to stop that from happening.
Okay, but I mean, you're comparing two different things here. Okay, brother, you're comparing two different things here, okay?
Tell me what
there's a difference between reinforcement of a critique and watching television programming. One is speaking to you directly. The other one is something that you're inviting into your environment. One is speaking to you pointedly. The other one has a presence. Can they both have an effect? Sure they can. But you're comparing two totally separate types of things here. Now, in my case, what we're doing here, it's one thing if you play a music song, a video that's got some nonsense going on in it. That's one thing. It's another thing when giving somebody information. So let's not confuse giving information just pitching and moaning. That's not what we do, and that's not what I'm about. And another thing here. Here's another thing, okay? And I want everybody to understand. A person sounds weak when they get up here and start yelling about or complaining about somebody pointing out what's wrong. You will not show me a football team that made it to the Super Bowl with a coach that said what you said. I can show you team after team that went to the Super Bowl and actually was a loser team and didn't turn around and fix the problem until they had a coach who acted like me. The problem with what you said is we're already doing that. And if somebody listened to you, they would think we weren't doing that already. We're already mollycoddling and pussy.
You're missing my point.
Brother, I understand your point. You don't understand what your point is. I'm repeating back to you.
I actually do understand my point.
If you meant something totally different, that's your fault. But I'm repeating
what I said. I mean something totally different.
Okay.
Yeah, because you did stop me.
I'm going to clarify based on what you said before. Okay?
Okay, if you keep talking or you're going to talk over me,
you'll have to go because you people in New York apparently tonight, you all don't know to shut up long enough for someone else to talk. And apparently
you all talk to people the way that you drive, but
you can't talk to people the way that you drive up there, okay? Because I've been in Brooklyn traffic, New York traffic. You can't talk to people the way you drive.
I'm shutting up to listen to your point. I'm still waiting.
Okay, I'm going to say this last time. The next time I hear your voice while I'm talking, I'm going to give you a chance to go talk to Nivea. Fair enough?
I already got a chance to go talk to Nivea.
Okay, well, I'm about to give you an express ticket. Fair enough? Okay. Hang up on this call. He decided to be a suicide bomber, which is perfectly fine by me. What he has shown us is if you want to know why niggas in New York are getting gentrified out of Brooklyn, and Spike Lee has to complain about it, you want to know why niggas in New York can't get nothing done, and I'm saying the word that I mean to say, you want to know why they're all complaining and can't get anything done, you just witnessed it for yourself with two calls back-to-back, basically. One, a black female in Queens. Two, a Negro from Brooklyn. And look at the way they act. Look at the way they behave. He didn't want to say anything critical of her, and now you realize why he didn't say anything critical of her, because he's right there with her. So if you all want to know why you haven't had a black mayor in New York except one, but even with your black mayor, you had power. If you want to know why you are the whipping dog and the whore of every other ethnic group in New York, and you all know what's going on in Harlem, you know what's going on in Brooklyn, you know what's going on the Lower East Side, you know what's going on the Upper West Side. If you want to know why, you just heard right there. That guy right there, what they remind you of, you know those out-of-control students at your school who can't act right in class? That was it right there. You tell them, be quiet, listen, and they're going to tell you, I'm not shutting up nothing. I ain't shutting up nothing. But you're stupid and you're failing and that don't mean nothing. And then when they get kicked out of school because they're 21 years old in the 10th grade and they can't keep you there anymore, they then tell you, the system done it to me. Why didn't you talk to me nicer? The system done it to me. So you all just saw in living color why New York City is the way it is. Any questions? Caller from the 612, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hello?
Yes, you're on.
Oh, okay. Finally, I've been waiting for a while. My name is Kevin. I'm calling from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
What's in your mind?
Hello? What's in my mind that I listen to your posts and your videos for the past few weeks, even for a month or two, especially from the post comments and stuff you were saying last night. First, I'd like to say, I 100% agree with what you were saying, that a lot of black men, I would pretty much far fit in that category, but a lot of black men nowadays are embarrassed themselves by being women, boys, and dogs, and need to pretty much step up our game. 100% agree with you that like this well, but the reason I don't consider myself in that category too much because I've been down that road a couple of times when I was younger. Well, I'm 31 years old, by the way. And I got pretty much tired of being on that road. I got tired of following that same cycle, and I pretty much started communicating with certain friends because I got tired of being hanging around guys who are all about talking about getting laid instead of talking about building and starting a career. Because right now, I'm pretty much in college right now for criminal justice, and my main goal right now besides being a UConn to be a martial arts instructor and build a dojo in the black community and teach that to young kids and youth and what is black families. That is my main purpose and goal right there, my main mission. And only type of financial thing I have told you so far is probably about like 1,500 set up, but it's a start. So, hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Do you have a point?
The point I was trying to make about that as well, that I feel that what you're saying so far, 100% real, that how can I Pimlico Safari distance myself from those kind of people like that who don't want a Pimlico Safari build and who don't want a Pimlico?
Yeah, people ask this question all the time. The way to distance yourself from people who aren't doing anything and aren't building is you don't give them your phone number, you don't give them your forwarding address, and you don't give them the time of the day. That's how you do it.
Yeah, I Pimlico Safari doing half that because
did you
it's
see
like
what
I'm...
I did with the previous two calls from New York?
Yeah, so I heard that.
While you were complaining about sitting on hold for a while, I hope you were soaking up some game there. That's what you do with people who are a waste of your time. That's what you do, and that's the way that you do it. So that's the answer to your question. You don't give them your phone number, you don't give them your address, and you don't give them the time of day. That's how you do it.
Yeah, because I think I was doing that halfway because it seemed like while I'm here in Minneapolis, I'm surrounded by little young idiots out here so far who are trying to inherit the thug culture instead of inherit their own African heritage, and it's getting sickening right now for me. So the only black people so far get along with the most are either those who are in the military or those who come from Africa. Those seem the only type of two black people I get along with the most.
You got to understand, too, that you may need to apply these concepts Jason told you to family also. I have.
Yeah. Yeah, I also watched some of your videos, by the way, Melissa, and I 100% agree with what you're saying in your videos as well, too, because I dealt with that so far in my dating life, and I'm pretty much been single for 3.5 years because a woman is not my focus. My main focus is my goals.
And when you dreams, the women will come after you. You don't have to chase them.
Yeah.
Once you become successful, they'll all go after you.
Yeah, I pretty much was done chasing women like about years ago, like about when I was like 25, 26 years old. I've been done years ago. I just been focusing on goals.
Now,
but
I'm going to ask you another question here. How much did you had saved up?
Probably 1,500. I mean, I know it's very little. I know it's pretty much the last little amount, but I figure it's a start. I'm pretty much constantly saving up, constantly right there. I mean, it could have been like that for the past few years, but I pretty much set up finally the problem with my father was that I was too eager to help our friends and families who were leeching off my hard earnings, and I put a stop to that just like about a year and a half or two ago. Hello?
Okay. How much did you say you had saved up?
$1,500.
Okay. Well,
yeah, I know it's probably a little amount. It's probably nothing, but I figure it's probably the start. It's constantly building up.
Okay, well, definitely, like I say, you want to buy getting your savings together. You really want to have at least 6 months of your income, enough money to keep you afloat for 6 months in the bank. So 15 is a start. You definitely want to make sure you build on that from there. Thank you very much for giving the call here, brother, and we appreciate you listening to BlackChannel.net Radio. The telephone lines are jam callers, but we definitely want to get as many people here as we can. The number is 646-787-1933. 647-871-933 is your personal access code to the Black Radio program in the universe, the only intelligent black talk going on out there anywhere where we expect adults to be adults. You're on live with BlackChannel.net Radio.
All out of Phoenix.
What's on your mind, black man? New York is giving us hell tonight, ain't they?
I tell you, man. Good Lord. The brother won't let you talk. I thought I'd get that from women. But I'm going to make this quick. I listened to part of your broadcast last night, you know, while I was driving. Part of, like, my parents taught me to never start a family until I have my stuff together. It's not fair to those kids and not fair to that woman. Now, I'm 35 with no kids. And I talked to guys in Facebook groups. I say, hey, I believe a man should wait till he has it together. They arguing with me, talking about, well, you meet the right girl. And all this emotional crap. And I'm thinking, How can you come up to a woman without a plan? How can you come about having kids and you have no how you going to put up for their future going to college or having a future for them starting a business or your woman? Because a woman, she's supposed to follow the man. But how is she going to follow the man if she has a plan like in general custom? It's not going to happen.
You're thinking normal, and they're thinking in that, you know, downward spiral of failure. So don't think you're the crazy one.
Yeah. And I had a younger cousin. And I did the same thing I looked at TVA did. He talked to his one brother, you know, who's a PhD, an educator. And I did this with my cousin over a year ago. I had him come down to Phoenix where I'm at. I bought a ticket, put some money in his pocket. I took him around. I took him to all these night spots, the nice places. Told him where I live. And I told him, you mess around and want to get tied up with these women and have these kids young, you're not going to be able to build anything. They're going to be tough. And I told him, why would you want to go the hard route? Why can't you just hold off right now until you got your stuff together, travel, grew up a little bit, have some money saved up, because kids cost money. But then he brought a character, and I said, well, I bet you're a good guy. But what kind of character will it be you bring a woman to a situation where you're barely making ends meet by yourself? It's not going to prove you got a woman and a kid.
Well, the reason for that, though, is like the caller that we just had here calling from Brooklyn. Now, he's a black male, but look at him. He wants somebody to mollycoddle him and pat him on the hand. That's what he wants you to do. Can you just say it to me the way I want to hear it? What you said, he sounds like a lot of the females. Well, he's not building anything for anybody either. That's the problem. He's not building anything for anyone either. He wants somebody to come along and tell him that whether he is actually succeeding or whether he's actually failing, to tell him that he's okay. Either way it goes. It's amazing how black men watch movies like 300 and like to tell themselves that we're like the Spartans. I could have done that. He can't even take somebody telling him screwing up, much less punching him in the face. But he's telling himself that that's what he is. So he's not building anything. He's not doing anything. So when you say, how in the world are you going to take care of these kids, not taking care of yourself? The person says, well, hell, my daddy didn't take care of me. Remember what I said at the outset. That you have a situation where these people are expecting the state, expecting the baby mama, expecting anybody and everybody to take care of their responsibilities as men, as males, everybody except them. When they meet somebody like me who says, well, yeah, that's one thing, but this is what you're supposed to be doing as a man. They go back to that mama's boyism. That was a mama's boy from Brooklyn, and he bows to a female, even one as loud and ridiculous and ignorant as the one from Queens. But that's what he understands. That's what he knows. He's not insisting on a bigger, higher standard from her because he doesn't want a high standard from her because he's afraid that if you insist on a higher standard from her, you're going to have to get a higher standard from you.
Yeah, and I'll say this, you know, you got other callers. My parents, my dad taught me you never move into a woman's house because how can you be the head of a household you didn't pay for the house? And I'll tell you this quick story, real quick. When I was in my early 20s, I was working at a grocery store making $7 an hour. I met this sister I really cared about, I was crazy about her. She already graduated, can't even teach her and stuff. But I had to let her go because I told her straight up that, hey, I'm not where I need to be in life, and it's not fair to you to bring you into that. And she was pretty upset at me. But she ended up marrying a decent guy who had us up together at the time. And she found me on Facebook. She told me she was glad that I let her go. Too many of these black men out here would bring those women into their problems, you know, they don't have it together. But see, and I say this and I hang up. It takes character to know you're not there yet and to let that woman go and find somebody who is there.
Wow, that was really profound what you just said here, Tobias. It takes character to realize that I'm not there yet. it takes character for a man to look in the mirror and say, I'm not in any shape. This woman doing better than me. I can't do anything for you. I damn sure don't even have any kids with you. That takes character. And isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? I'll let you have the last word, brother.
Okay, thanks for taking my call. And black men got to understand that, yes, money does matter when it comes to women. At the end of the day, women crave spirit. And you have to build something. Now, if your daddy didn't take care of you, that's not an excuse. How about you break the cycle, stop swallowing your fist, and say, I'm going to make a change. You got Blog Talk, you got different websites, you got social media to find people who can help you through that if you want to help. But if you don't want to help, don't come my way. But, hey, thanks for taking my call, TBA, and I look forward to your other broadcast and picking up that documentary.
Thank you very much for joining us, brother. And as always, Black, we appreciate hearing from you, Tobias. And as he was mentioning there, the documentary is called 7 a.m. It is the first of its kind, the most important documentary in history, because this is the only documentary in history that is going to determine the future and the survival of the first race of people on the planet. It is dedicated and focused solely upon black socioeconomic position. It is comprehensive. We talk to the single most influential and sharpest minds on the subject in America. We talk to Dr. Umar Johnson. We're going to be talking to Shalimar Blakely, director of the African American Chamber of Commerce, Philadelphia, New Jersey, Delaware. Try to say that three times fast. We're talking to most 11 of the Negro Leagues in Philadelphia. We talked to Alayla Bundles, great-great-granddaughter of Madam C.J. Walker. Talked to Brett Pulley, the dean of the Howard School of Journalism at Ham University in Virginia and author of the book The Billion Dollar Bet about the rise of BET. And we also talked to, of course, the godfather of black socioeconomics, Dr. Claude Anderson. He is in the documentary of 7 a.m. We also are going to be talking to real estate mogul and tycoon, Don Peebles, the Peebles Corporation. This is going to be a groundbreaking exegesis upon black people and economics and why we've been looking at everything all wrong and why we better get it right or we don't have a future at all. Open caller from the 912, you're on live with Black Talent Net Radio.
Hey, how's it going? You got me there because I was listening to the broadcast over the phone, and I was checking out online, and it's somewhat choppy. Not really bad, but somewhat choppy.
Okay, well, if you just want to listen on the phone, I'll put you back on hold. Just press the number one
again. No. I called in talk to you, but I was just letting you know it's somewhat choppy.
No, internet connection is fine. That's just at your house.
Oh, okay. Well, you're still there? I'm sorry.
Okay. What's your call?
Okay, my thing, how can I put this? Because I was not trying to offend anyone. But I see from a lot of, streamcasts of different shows, right? A lot of people... It's somewhat of like the pot calling the kettle black. Now, I heard the New York callers and doing their thing. Okay. Then I heard the last brother, and the last brother pretty much mirrors myself. You know, he was like, I was taught you do not have children until, you are prepared. And you made a statement earlier about, a good age to enter parenthood would be about 28. Now, myself, I was married for a number of years prior to having a child. My son was born by choice, and he's the same way, right? Don't bring me a grandchild until you bring me a daughter-in-law. And that's how we go. Now, I don't understand what is the deal with a lot of black people that just can't get that concept down pat,
Because family structure is gone. In black society, you've had a situation where they've bastardized and totally corrupted the definition of family. A family begins with a father, with a man and a woman. It does not begin with children. A family begins with a marriage, and then you produce children from the marriage. The problem is with the government-sponsored, now that we are in the government-sponsored era of bastard baby maker, they've told you that a family can be defined however you want it to be. So first we define it as single mothers. Father's not there, don't worry. Even though the dad's not there, you're still a family. You wouldn't call a car three wheels a car, but this family with two of the three parts is still a, quote, family. Next thing you know, two men, two women, no kids, transvestite, whatever, clear the debt. We can go ahead and define it however we want to. So basically, it's like all those no-holds-barred, free-for-all, no-rules matches in the WWE. Here comes somebody with tables, ladders, and chairs. And then we're saying, what happened to the damn wrestling match? So that's basically the situation that we're in right now. We are up against the second generation, that crop of children from the 60s, born to the people of the 60s and the 70s. They grew up in the parents in the 90s, and now they have a screwed up mindset, and now they have even more contaminated, messed up children who are now out here today, coming of age today. So we've got two generations totally screwed up, messed, no concept of family, organization, civilization, or civil behavior, roaming the streets and calling themselves black people. That's basically what you got.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely true. This, you know, you have a lot of situations, like I heard earlier, you were saying, well, you heard them from New York saying whatever they were saying, and myself, I'm from Chicago originally, but, you know, I've traveled quite a bit, and they're like, oh, this is a queen, that's a queen. I'm like, that would be a negative. But, you know, as of, you know, black women and certain behaviors, me, on the other hand, I know a number of together black women that are doing what they should be doing, and, you know, they're fine. And, you know, on the same token, I do know a whole lot of just ghetto, never going to do nothing but be a baby mama. I mean, that's not even a status. I don't know why they think it's a status. I mean, if you do your W-2s or whatever, it's what, married, single, married, filing, separate, whatever. I mean, baby mama is not a status, okay?
Yeah, but, I mean, it is a status in Bedford-Stuyvesant Housing Project. It is a status there. I mean, you have to understand, it's defined by community and where you grew up at. We have a bunch of people, when they say a ghetto superstar, what they mean is that my world is defined by the five blocks I grew up in.
Exactly. That's like Chicago. Each, you could take eight blocks of Chicago, and that equals 1 mile if you go in a straight direction. A lot of people do not exit within a quarter mile radius of where they live. I mean, it's like when I would go back home, you know, a lot of people, they would see videos I would do, and they'd be, hey, you dogging out black people. I'm like, no, I'm not dogging out black people. I'm dogging out stupid black people. It's a difference. And, you know, I'm not one that, you know, say if I was to go on a tangent stating bastard babies, like, blah, 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 okay, I could go on such a tangent, seeing as I was married prior to becoming a father, and I have not produced any children outside of me being married, which was my only son, you know, who is like me. He, you know, he should be getting married once he gets back here from Korea. He's supposed to get married. He, you know, has a girlfriend that's in the military with him, and he's going to get married, then go off to Ranger school and all this and all of that. And, you know, that's his plan. But she is self-sufficient, doesn't have any children. He doesn't have any children. They're not making any plans for any children until they get their feet solid within their career. Now, it doesn't take rocket science, but I don't know, you know, how hard is that? How hard is that to do? How hard is it to...
It doesn't take rocket science. It just takes a goal. It doesn't take science. It just takes a goal. And unfortunately, most people out there simply do not have a goal. It's just the long and short of it. I'm going to go ahead and get some more callers here, but I'll let you have the last word.
Okay. Well, that's pretty much, you know, pretty much it on my end. But, you know, and I find it very odd just to I'll try to be brief with this last point to give you something. I will go back to Chicago, to Englewood, back to the hood, and talk to these young brothers about joining the military, which is an instant come up out of poverty, right? And they would always say, I ain't finna fight the white man war. Okay, then President Obama got elected. I'm like, well, the last time I checked, the president's black. I don't know where this thing came from with black people mentioning the military. It's like giving kryptonite to Superman. You had the brother from Minnesota that says all the people he get along with is like military people as of one group. You know, there's a certain degree of just dignity in everything that you have in that, and that's what's needed.
Yeah, but there's also another side to it, though. I mean, just saying join the military, that you're not just saying just join the military, though. There's a lot to it because a lot of these young people are conscious of the fact that, you know, there are people, Derek uses the phrase, people, they're not black people in the world, but joining the military is a huge commitment because you join an employer, and if you don't like your job, you can leave. You can't do that in the military. You join and you stay for your enlistment or you go to jail. There's no other job. There is other job in the world where if you don't like your job, you go to jail if you don't want to stay. Now, you might go into debt if you don't want to stay, but you don't go to jail. So understand, as a young person, that's the first thing that comes to their mind is their freedom. What can I do? Now, you're talking about from a practical standpoint of getting out of a bad environment, but their definition of, quote, a bad environment is relative because what you call a bad environment, they call home.
Yeah,
well, thank you very much for giving us a call
up
here. I'm definitely glad you gave us a call here today. And please do check back with us here and the next time that you have the opportunity to call us. Let's go ahead and grab a few more telephone calls here. Caller from the 310, you're on live with Black Channel.
Hey, guys. This is Josh from Los Angeles. How are you guys?
What's on your mind, black man? Take your phone off speaker.
Oh. Is that okay?
I'll give you a minute here.
Okay. My question is for you, TBA. It pertains to last night's show. To paraphrase, you said that you aren't really in this podcast. I'm sorry. To paraphrase, you said that you weren't doing this for the money, and I was kind of disappointed to hear that. I was hoping you were going to monetize everything. Correct me if I'm wrong. With that said, what metrics are you using to measure success in this whole thing?
That's a this is the first time that anybody has ever asked me that. I should dump your call. I'm not going to do it, but I should. Actually, had a sensible question here. He must be auditioning for my job. Let me hate on him. Okay. First of all, I didn't start out doing this for making money, okay? There are other people out there who say they would be doing this if they weren't making money. Understand something. One of the things I liked about Tupac is that Tupac just had something he wanted to get off his chest. He would have done what he was doing if there was no money in it at all. He had something he wanted to say. That's me. Not comparing myself to Tupac, but you get the idea. I got something I want to say. And I had something I wanted to say, and nobody else was saying it. Nobody else was saying it. So it was a situation where I got out there because nobody else was saying what I wanted to hear, and I was desperate to hear it, and I wanted to know, was I the only one? So money didn't enter that equation. Money doesn't enter that equation for me. There are other people out there who does, not for me. Not to say that I'm, quote, better than anybody else. It just doesn't, that's not my reason for being here. Now, how do I measure success? Brother, the way that I measure success is when I started doing this broadcast, my first broadcast, I had 32 callers, something like that. I had 32 listeners, first broadcast. The one that, I mean, the broadcast that we've had for the last 3 days, I've had hundreds of people watching. I haven't been able to check all the platforms, but between all of them there, we've had hundreds of people watch. Hundreds of people watching, dozens of people on the phone, and thousands, thousands of people watching the video after it's been recorded. That's success. I went from being a guy who had 10 followers, 10 subscribers on Facebook, and I self-built something where I've got, now today I've got what? I forget, 13, 14, 15,000 subscribers with people repeating the phrases. Black empowerment has become common. Bastard Baymaker has become common. The things that I used to say that you didn't hear anywhere, black first, has become common. That's how you measure success. I watch for trends, and I'm watching how these trends are establishing, gaining root. Now, I'm different from a lot of other people that in this microwave society, I'm patient. A lot of people out there are not patient. They want to see results this month. I understand that it took decades to get into this thing, and it'll probably be the rest of my lifetime to correct it, turning the wheel, and to start seeing where numbers of the stupid go down and the numbers of the ambitious and productive go up. That's how I measure success. So I've given you, those are just a few of the metrics by which I measure success in what I'm doing. I've seen, I guess we would call it limited success at this point. Let me tell you, this landscape is a whole lot different from what we were seeing before. A whole lot different.
What would you say to your critics who, you know, would say that you haven't shown your photo, you haven't, not that I think you should, but you never shown your photo, you haven't get any information about yourself? What would you say to those people?
Okay, first of all, why do you need to see my picture?
I don't, but others have said it.
I'm not talking to you. Calm down, Josh. I'm answering your question. The answer that I give them is, why do you need to see my picture? Because there are only two people who need to see my picture, people who want to have business with me and people who want to have sex with me. Those are the only two people who need to see my face. This is the Internet. These are listeners, and these are associates. They are not my friends, and they're not my family. I can be anybody. I could be anyone, anywhere. And that's the great thing about being TBA. Been all over this country just last year, and I could be anyone sitting next to you. When I went to IHOP, I thought it was a great thing to see people on Facebook and whatnot. Like, I wonder if this person is on my friends list. I wonder if they are, and do they know that they're sitting next to me? And that's the way it should be. The next thing about people who see me, that doesn't bother me at all, because the people who bring that up are critics already. I don't worry about please people who are already against me. They're against the message, or they're these, you know, these avaricious, conceited, pompous, you know, self-serving, self-centered individuals who are just, you know, making statements out of their own ego. These egomaniacs who think they're going to raise themselves up by trying to take me down. And that's not the way it works. You have to build something for yourself. You don't build up something by tearing someone else down. You build up something by showing the merits of yourself. And amazingly, a guy who doesn't show his face and doesn't go to him pictures of himself all over the place, and yet I talk to millionaires and billionaires. You show me the people who are out there putting up all the videos and stuff and got anything greasy to say about me, none of them who can say that. Now, if they want to see my face, no, you haven't seen me. And the people who want to talk greasy, you ain't seen me. You know who has seen me? Dr. Umar Johnson has seen me. Has he seen you? Dr. Claude Anderson has seen me. Has he seen you? Alayla Bungle has seen me. Has she seen you? Would she know you? Because she knows me. I can call her right now if you want me to. I can call all those people. Everybody who named for my documentary, I got the numbers. See, Umar Johnson is a person that y'all talk about on Facebook. Umar Johnson is a man that I talk to. Did you get the difference there? For everybody else, he's a person they talk about. For me, he's a person I talk to. Dr. Claude Anderson is a person y'all watch the internet. He is a man I talk to. Big difference. So my critics, for all their face showing, they can't show you anybody who's worth anything who's seen their face. And I'll leave that where I left it.
All right. Well said. Thank you very much.
Thank you for checking in with us, brother. And as always, Black First. Caller from the 951. Thank you for your patience. You're on live with the BlackChallenge.net radio.
Good evening. This is Mona Lachey.
Mona Lachey.
Hi, Mona.
I've been calling that name wrong all this time. I'm so sorry.
No, you're actually calling it right. The men say Lishy, the women say Lachey.
Okay, I guess because we've got Licious on our minds. What's on your mind, Black?
You know, I just wanted to say one thing. You know, what people don't understand is what we're doing here, or the message that we're trying to bring forth, is that we're not actually talking to adults who act responsible with some kind of accountability. When you are trying to teach children that exemplify childlike behavior, you have to teach them by repetition. So although they think you're saying the same thing over and over again, you have to do it because that's how they have to learn, because they're not getting it the first time. If we had responsible adults, there would be no radio shows to talk about the things that we continuously have to talk about. And I just want to say to Melissa Ortiz, I totally back your video. And I just want to say
this.
You cannot tell me, you're welcome. You cannot tell me as a woman that you don't know women that exemplify ratchet behavior. You cannot tell me. I don't care if they're in your close circle or wherever they are. But see, here's the problem. We cannot say anything about Black women.
That's
they
right.
lose their mind.
Absolutely.
And that's all I wanted to say. Keep up the good work, Black folks.
Well, before you go, though, Miss Licious, because, I mean, she made a point there. I was going to bring that up to the caller in Brooklyn before I decided to punch ticket. But that was what I was going to say, was that the other side of that is this: we're trying to re-educate people on this, and that means we have, if they already knew, we wouldn't have had to say it the first time.
Right.
Now, the fact that they don't know is, and the fact that they've heard this before, there is nothing I've said on this broadcast that every single Black person in America, no matter their age, hasn't heard before. Nothing.
Yeah.
They've heard it. They just didn't care and bypassed it. So the fact that they still need to be told means that we need to, as Joe Arbor said in politics, how do you get your message across in politics? And he said the old politicians told him that you have to repeat it and repeat it and say it over and over and over and over and over and at every stop to every person, to every man, every woman, to every child, over every city you go into, and say it until people are ready to throw up. That when they see you walk into the podium, they already know what you're going to say before you get there. And he said, and when that moment comes, you know that your message is just beginning to sink in. They have gotten there. Just beginning to sink in when you get to that point. Because these people are resisting it the whole time. Barack Obama, we all know one thing about him, don't we? Change and hope. And you know why you know it? Because he said it to you 10 or 12 times every time he saw you. And all you remember is change and hope. So now we open up our pockets. We got a little change left. I don't know how much hope still out there, but we got a little change left, and that's what it takes. But you have to understand, His problem was not the fact that it was not repetition. His problem was the fact that we're saying this at all. You all need to understand that there is a contingent in black society that is working against us. There was that movie Cyborg. For those of you who haven't seen that Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, it was an early one he did in the 80s, right after Bloodsport, called Cyborg. And it was a post-apocalyptic picture, and there was this one group of gangsters, and they were trying to stop them from getting the cure to this virus. And one scientist said it to the leader of the gang. He said, "We need this virus to save people." And he said, "Why do you need to save them?" And he says, "Because they're dying, we need to change the world." He said, "This will save the world." And the gangster responded, "I like the world just the way it is." Mona, Melissa, there are a bunch of black people like the callers from New York. They don't see nothing wrong with the twerkers. They don't see anything wrong with the slum. They don't see anything wrong with black people just getting by. There are a group of black people who are happy on a plantation. And like I said last night, you have the erroneous assumption that a plantation is a place where you pick cotton. You know what a plantation is? A plantation is a 5-block radius that you live in squalor, and you've never been allowed or given or made the opportunity to think that you can be better than that 5-block radius. That's a plantation. Sister, I want you to go ahead and give everybody your information for your broadcast, because I will be joining you to wreak havoc on your listeners tomorrow.
Well, join us tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the Nene and Momo Show. You can call in at 347-637-1728, or you can log in the chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/the Nene and Momo Show. Black Economics with Jason Black, the Black Authority.
Thank you very much for checking in with us, sister.
Thank
and
you.
It's going to be a riot one way or the other, even if I got to bring my own tear gas.
Okay. Let's do it.
Have a good evening. This is Home of Intelligent Black Society. This is BlackChannel.net Radio. Let's go ahead and open up another phone line here. Caller from the 864, you're on live with BlackChannel.net Radio.
Please. Hello, brother. How are you? How's everybody?
All right. What's your name? Where you coming from?
My name is Shabazz. I'm probably from Greenville, South Carolina.
Okay. Now, are you Shabazz from Relationship Talk?
Excuse me, sir?
Are you Shabazz from Relationship Talk?
No, sir. I'm not.
A lot of Shabazz is out there. Just thought you might. What's on your mind, yeah. Black man?
But I definitely wanted to add on, I guess, to, going down to the root of our problem, because the last caller was talking in reference to accountability, and I think a couple of callers back was talking about, the importance of looking in the mirror and moral character, and I think that's going to be the underlying factor that's going to initially put us on our path to control any resource, whether that be money, whether it be gold, whether it be anything. Us as black people, we have had a lot, but also we have squandered a lot. In 2000, like you said, knowing about Dr. Claude Anderson, we spent $1 trillion in 2012. And this is the actuality. Why is that? Like you all were saying, the families are broken because we have no true sense of spirituality. Our spirituality has been taken away, and because our spirituality is so frail, this gives us awkward disposition in seeing the rest of the world because...
Okay, let me jump in here. Now, you do understand that black people per capita have more churches, mosques, and engage in religious practices more than any other people, not just in America, but on the face of the planet.
Yeah. Yes, sir. But you feel
that we are lacking, quote, spirituality. So what you're probably going to say next, that, well, yeah, but the problem is that all those churches and mosques, they just aren't giving us the right kind of spirituality. Am I heading in the right direction there?
Absolutely.
Go ahead and say yes. I mean,
absolutely, you're dead on, but to be more specific, those are religions. And us as
No, they're not. This is a lie that we keep regurgitating to ourselves. There's no difference between what you're about to say, African spirituality, rest in peace, Dr. John Henry Clark. No difference between Mayat and Christianity and Islam and Transcendental Meditation. There's no difference between them. If you believe that there is a world beyond, one that you can touch and see and smell and taste and feel, if you believe there's something beyond that, you have a spiritual belief system. Doesn't matter how intricate it is. It doesn't matter if you can tie it to a specific entity. It doesn't matter if it has a face. It doesn't matter if it has a name. It doesn't matter if it doesn't. If you believe there's anything beyond this physical actuality, then you have a spiritual belief system. Doesn't matter what you call it or how you facilitate it. You believe that.
And that is in everybody's perception. But the reality is that's the difference between a belief and a knowing. You understand? Because there are a lot of belief systems, and this is what would be tied back into these things. But then when you go by things that are actual, such as air, such as the sun, such as when we speak of things, like you said, my, there would be no difference. The difference would be the intent, initiation between the celebration of that, because a lot of these religions are celebrated in a lot of deception. And so this would make the whole difference of celebrating the whole actuality of what spirituality initially was in the organic creation of that thing. You know, and if we don't never celebrate it in that manner, you see why we constantly are bumping our heads up against the wall. You know,
here's the problem with what you're saying. We all get that because we've heard this 1,000 times before. Here's the problem with what we're saying. We live in a physical world, and our problems right now, we don't have any spiritual problems. Our problems are socioeconomic. That's it. Those are our problems. Black people do not have any spiritual problems, and we keep getting sidetracked and detoured and derailed because dealing with economics means dealing with numbers. And you see, I can tell if what you're saying is accurate through numbers. I can tell if you actually know what the hell you're talking about or not. But with spirituality, that's open to interpretation of whoever you're talking to. So we don't know if he, quote, succeeded or not. But if it's time to rent, I know if you know what you're talking about, because that rent's going to get paid. There's a dollar figure. So it's dry. We don't have to guess about it. It's not open interpretation. Black people want to keep detouring into all kinds of things that are open to interpretation, because spirituality is easy. Building an economy, fixing your society is hard.
Well, I mean, this is what's going to allow you to appropriate whatever it is. We make a lot of money. We make a lot of money as black people.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do. We do.
Okay.
How big is the
black economy?
I'm not sure, but I know in 2012.
Okay, wait a minute. Stop.
Hey,
you just said that you know it. You just said that we make plenty of money. But when I ask you how much we make, you say, I don't know.
Well, look, this is the underlying factor. This is the whole point. And
no,
even
you
when
can't
you go,
say we
look,
make
look,
plenty of money
look, look,
if
look,
you
look,
don't
look,
know how
look,
we make.
Look, this is just the only thing that I'm referring to. When we own the buying power as black people, this is the fact in 2012.
Okay, what is our buying power?
This is a fact. We spent over $1 trillion. We spent $1 billion on alcohol. This is a fact. We spent billions of dollars on accessories for cars. We spent billions of dollars on cars. This is a fact.
Do you know why that's irrelevant?
Because we're running around lost.
Do you know why that's irrelevant? Because you can go through all that about hair care and rims and shoes. You can go through all that mess. It's irrelevant. And do you know why? Now, you were heading in the right direction, even though you didn't know it. You were heading in the right direction. The black economy is about $1.5 trillion. Here's the problem. The problem is we are $1.5 trillion. We're actually technically not there yet, but I'll spot you that other $200 billion. We are $1.5 trillion in a global economy of $300 trillion, which means that we are one-third of 1 percentage point. What that tells you, that you are just referencing, this is why numbers matter, because we can determine what's the perspective and what really matters. If we disappeared tomorrow morning, the world wouldn't even miss us. One-third of 1%, it wouldn't even miss us. Black people are a feeder system that enriches Asians and Arabs and other people that come into contact with us. But our, quote, economy is not one to be spoken of. We don't have any money. We can help other people get themselves straight, but we don't have any money. So when you say that we've got all this spending power and whatnot, no, we don't. It's only big dollars to the people within that small economy. To the rest of the world, it's a joke. And that's why nobody is competing to get into the ghetto. They're competing to bulldoze it, because what you think is tremendous spending power is non-existent. Now, that is a matter of perspective. Maybe you can look at that and think to yourself, well, yeah, that's a lot. No, it's not.
Well, I think what you're saying, it could be accurate in some senses, but this is the reality. Us as black people, we exert a lot of energy. We, as athletes, we do a lot of things, like go out there on the football field. We risk our lives. We do a lot of things. This is
okay.
When
are we going to get to building an economy? We're going to get to building an economy and stop all this hocus.
We are the workhorses. We always have been the workhorses.
Okay, but I'm asking you, when are we going to stop all this? Okay, I will agree with every spiritual system you bring to me now. Okay, brother, I'm on board with it. I don't know what it is. I'm on board with it. Now, tell me, how do we get building this economy so we can get this supremacist boot off our neck now?
You said, how do we build this economy to do what now?
That we can get this white supremacist boot off of our neck and get back to some black empowerment so we can live a decent life. I agree with spirituality now. I'm on board with whatever you're selling, brother. Buying it. Now tell me, what do we do now?
Well, the first thing we have to do is just decline our normal weight. I mean, of spending, our normal habitual, the same thing that Dr. Claude Anderson is referencing to, come back to our communal sense. You understand? And then we have to realize that we are the biggest asset. We are the biggest resource. What we do.
Okay, you're not telling me what to do. You're not telling me what to do. Tell me what we're going to do now. We get that part about Dr. Anderson. Tell us what we're going to do now.
Okay, that's what I was explaining.
Really weren't. You said we have to get back to our communal sense. Okay, tell us what we're going to do.
I mean, what are you talking about? After then?
Yeah, okay, because a commune is a community. Okay, we're all in the same place now. Now what do we do?
You have to establish yourself in a more resourceful manner. That's when you have to, we as each other have to start looking at and identifying the same things or looking at the world in a more resourceful manner. That's it. We start having to realize
give me an example.
We start, we starting to realize that we are the custodians of this thing, such as our crops, such as agriculture, such as that.
Okay, give me an example. Give me an example of changing the way we use our resources and taking advantage of it. Give me an example.
Agriculture. Tapping in, getting land, because us as Africans, even us as me as being a young black man, we have land tied up in our families. So even using this land to be more agriculturally
okay, explain how we do that. How do we do that?
You could plant cotton. You could try to tap in to see whatever if there's some type of seed or herb that you could grow, and definitely be very resourceful there. I mean, whatever it is, it's something where we have to use our mind
we are
the custodians of this thing, not
okay,
the money.
Okay, so we're gonna plant. You said we're gonna plant crops. You're telling me that we're going to plant crops. Is that what you're saying?
See, you're going all off of, I mean, I'm not real sure what you're going with.
I'm repeating your words. I'm repeating your words to you, but you're saying I'm going all off.
No, you just asked me one question. I just gave you one instance.
I just said
one thing because I know I stay here in Greenville, and I know a business owner. And actually, she was talking about the importance of having an ecosystem. You understand? So therefore, definitely, you would have the majority, a lot of resources that you would definitely have to tend to. Okay? So whether it be cotton, whether that be crops of any kind.
Okay, what do we do? Okay, what do we do with all this cotton and crops? We got big silos full of cotton and crops.
You can export it, you can sell it, you can utilize it. I mean, just like George Washington Carver did, utilize the peanut.
Okay.
Just as even with tofu, where the soybean was actually.
Okay, I want everybody to think about something that Shabazz just said here. I want you all to remember this. Think about what he just said. We can utilize it the same way that George Washington Carver did. Brother, will you please tell me how long George Washington Carver was alive?
I mean, it was a while ago. What difference does it make, though?
Here's the difference. Here's the difference. The difference is, can you tell me what the American agricultural system was like back then?
Okay, but you're asking me how
our time and money into something, and you don't actually know what it is you're asking us to invest in.
But what I'm saying is you just asked me for an idea, and what you're doing is ridiculing my idea. Well, I said that, sir, because
don't mischaracterize what I said. I didn't ask for an idea. I asked to tell us what we're going to do. I didn't say give me an idea. Anybody can do Somalis and come with an idea. I asked you, what are we going to do to execute this plan that you told us there was a plan? And I asked you for details, and you started giving details, and now you're starting to realize that this plan is a little shaky. Let me take a moment to educate you for a minute here. Okay? George Washington Carver was alive back when we had an agrarian economy in America, the agrarian age of America. But that was the plantations were successful because America was an agrarian economy. Something wiped that out. Something that wiped that out. You might have heard of it in your history books. It was called the Industrial Revolution. Transformed from being an agrarian society to an industrial one. But wait, something wiped out the Industrial Revolution.
Technology.
The Information Age. So we've gone from the agrarian age to the industrial age to the information age, and you're telling us that our salvation, one of the keys to our salvation lies in the 2 ages ago? but you feel like you got an answer.
I mean, that, I mean, and that's in your opinion, sir. And
okay,
and
whoa, hold on. Opinion? How? What I said was an opinion.
That is your opinion.
This is nonsense.
Because,
flat will
because,
here.
Because,
they're
because
wrong
this,
on
this,
something.
This,
they don't sit up and say
the
they're wrong.
You're
and
still
say,
supporting.
Wow, that over.
You're
what
still
needs to sit up here and say, well, that your opinion that the computer is important today, that's your opinion that that's important. This is what happens when you're raised by fat black mammies in the ghetto who don't have to actually make a living to put food on the table. Somebody just gives them a check no matter how stupid what they just said was. And you wonder why we are where we are.
Nah, you
Bad,
sound like a robot.
I will give you,
that sounds like a robot.
I will give you
talk,
7 seconds.
That sounds
like
very robotic talk,
brother,
man. That
I'm going
to
give
like
you 7 seconds
talk.
To finish
you
your
to
point.
Stop,
whatever
man.
Your
you
point
to
is,
stop.
You got 7 seconds.
You have to stop supporting it. You have to stop supporting it. That's it. That's the first thing. You have to stop supporting the Matrix. When you stop.
You're on live with the Black Channel. Going once, going twice. Caller from the 218. You're on live with the Black Channel. They've been abducted. This looks interesting here. Just make sure I got my ducks lined up. Caller from the 678. You're on live with the Black Channel. Caller 678. Sounds like you're having a hell of a party over there. Okay, caller from the 678 is shaking their groove thing. Or it sounds like the kids are rampaging, like baby kids that got their driver's license. And it's just swerving down the freeway from here. Let's see if we can pick up a couple others on here. For everybody who's on the line, if you're on the line just to listen, get out of the call queue and just press 1. Otherwise, I will help make you famous. And you don't want to be famous on the Black Channel. Here's one caller from the 951. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Hello, this is a Confidence from Facebook.
Brother Confidence, I don't think we've ever spoken to you before.
Black first.
Black first, brother. What do you think, Confidence, about Queens, Brooklyn, and the farm we're getting ready to build?
Can you repeat that?
What do you think about Queens, Brooklyn, the caller from Queens, the caller from Brooklyn, and the farm we're getting ready to build?
They don't know how to shut up. Oh, no. No home training. But I'd like to suggest something about what the caller was saying before, how he was talking about ideas and culture, spirituality and all that. I was thinking, you know about Dr. Umar's school that's coming up, right, or academy?
Yes.
He was talking about manufacturing things and stuff like that for the kids, and they were going to sell them, so they were going to turn the academies into basically factories in themselves. I think if we rally around those schools, start using that for income, boycotting certain things, and investing in, like, strategically, we could build a base from that.
I don't have a problem with economics. I have a problem with microeconomics. Not a problem at all. I do have a problem with pie-in-the-sky thinking and innocuous, vacuous, look it up, vapid. Have a problem with that. When I ask somebody for specifics, like I just asked him for specifics, and his first words out of his mouth, that damn pot-smoking pipe dream that they've been told us forever. Brother, I'm 37 years old. Do you know how long I've been hearing about black folk and the farm?
Build a farm?
We've been hearing about this farm since Push in Philadelphia back in 78. Well, we've been hearing about this farm since Elijah Muhammad. And nobody has gotten around to making this farm just yet. What I'm saying is that your farm is never going to outdo Walmart, first of all. Let's just be very clear about that. They're going to do to you what the Arabs do gasoline. But you know what? That's not my biggest issue. Go build a farm all you want to, but have specifics. I'm sure Brother Umar's got specifics about what he's going to do. I've talked to the man. I find it possible to think he doesn't. He's going to have specifics. Mm-hmm. That dude we just got off the phone with has no specifics. None whatsoever. He just said, make a farm, make cotton. We all know the world doesn't have enough outlets for cotton. The word, China. We all know the world doesn't have enough outlets for cotton. And we all certainly know that the world doesn't have enough access to corn. We all know that, right? The government pays farmers not to grow corn.
Yep.
But he was advising us that we need more corn. And what I'm saying is, how well did you think this idea over? When he gave the line about George Washington Carver, that is his frame of reference? That tells you this brother ain't built nothing in his life and has never had to compete against other people. I'm going to say something right now, and this will be the only time I say something like this. I'm not a small fry on the internet, okay? A good number of people know about me. Ain't that right, Zane? A good number of people know about me. I know something about throwing elbows with other people to compete. I know a thing or two about that. I've put together my documentary. I know a thing or two about that. I know a thing or two about competing. And what I'm saying is that business is not communism. That's something that Dr. Anderson will talk to you all about in my documentary. When black people want to practice socialism and practice communism, when you live in a capitalistic society. That's the problem with what he was saying was once he got that commune thing, that's just another word for communism. That's all he was selling you. He was not actually offering you, quote, a solution. Just some communism. Pass the bong. Pass the bong.
Oh, another thing about the documentary, I was interested in marketing it, but at the $500 level, but I wouldn't know where to start because I live in California, and there's not really that many black people to start with, let alone people that are interested in group economics.
Well, I can't deal with that part for you. I mean, if what you're telling me, there's no customer base. Well, if you can't find one, I don't really know what to tell you about that. I can extend to you an opportunity and say, hey, here's something that nobody else has got. It'll be up to you whether you do anything with it, man. All I can say is we're going to go over the complete story of Madam C.J. Walker. Can't never could, brother. Can't never could. I can give some. All I can say is there's hustlers out there. I can give them a porno tape and they'll make $20. I can't put the hustle in you. I can give you an opportunity for it. I can't put it in you.
Some people
say that I hustle enough for me and three other people. I don't know that, but I'm just saying I can only hustle right now enough for me. I can only hustle enough for me.
All right. How would that work, though, as far as marketing it? Would we actually have the physical copies? Or?
Yes. Of course.
Oh. And so we get like $500 worth of copies, and then how would that work? No.
All right. You don't need $500 worth of copies. My God.
Yeah. I don't know how the math works.
Yeah, I'm talking for exhibition. I'm not talking about distribution.
Okay.
Because that was the thing from Dr. Anderson will cover as well. He said that, you know, people need to get down and, you know, he said invite a bunch of people over and have them watch one of his lectures, or whatever the case might be. I think black folk need to do that. Bring them over to your house. Bring them to the church, whatever. Tell them this is going to be black economics. Instead of Wednesday being Bible night, black economics night. Let's talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, everybody else is out there offering something. The biggest reason why we don't have anything is because we don't offer anything. Everybody else offering their twerk tapes. They're offering rap CDs. They're offering their movies. We're doing everything except off. Where's our contribution? Where's our offering? And I'm saying we start if you want to. I'll let you have the last word. Please.
Well, I'm always harping about if we could reintroduce a common culture, we could, like, basic things like schools, language schools, tutors, restaurants, things like African culture. I think that would draw more masses and maybe check people as far as, I don't know, I think the word black has been, like, inclusive of everybody, and I think African would be more appropriate to, like, check people, because I think black has been denigrated so much where it really doesn't even, there's really no standards to it. You're just born into it, and you can do whatever you want.
It's they've taken the word, just like conscious, they've taken the word and they have made it, they've taken the definition from it. It has no meaning anymore.
Yep.
Because when a word can mean anything, then the word means nothing. And that's the way it works. Well, brother, it's been great talking with you. Thank you very much for checking in with us tonight. Please do so again. Is the blackchannel.net radio caller from the 347. You're on live with blackchannel.net radio. Caller from the 347, you're on live with blackchannel.net radio.
Hello, my name is Tony.
Hello, Tony. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from New York, Westchester.
And what's on your mind, woman?
Well, there's a few things. I just want to make sure that I can speak without you cutting me off.
It depends on what you have to say. If you have something intelligent,
well,
sensible, and this is my broadcast. This is my broadcast. You're already being stupid. This is my broadcast.
I'm not being stupid. I'm just asking
okay.
A very nice question.
Here's the
I just
thing.
Want to understand.
When I start talking, you stop talking.
Oh,
okay. That's
sounds
rule
good.
Number one. When the
that's
host,
no problem.
When the host talking, because I paid for all the equipment, when the
oh.
host are talking, the caller gets quiet because
oh, okay.
people are here. People are here because they want to hear the way that I moderate the insight and analysis. If they wanted
oh.
to hear yours, then we'd all be listening to your broadcast. But since we're not
well,
doing that, we're going
to
roll my way. Okay.
So,
I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you even one more
well,
time.
I don't wanna fight.
When I'm talking,
talk.
If you start talking again, you'll just be gone. Because you've already shown that you have the difficulty hearing and following instructions. Your kindergarten teacher told you that 15 years ago, and you ain't got no better at it. And that's a shame. That's a sad commentary on your life. When somebody says stop talking and you can't do that.
May I speak now?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Maybe in a
okay.
moment. Maybe.
Okay.
Possibly. I'll think
okay,
it over.
Jason. Thank you.
Okay. Do you know me well enough to call me?
I thought that
I don't
we
think...
were on a first name basis.
Excuse
no?
me. Do you know me well enough to call me Jason? Because I don't think you do.
Well, I've listened to you for a while. I actually want to agree with a lot of things that you're saying.
My name for you, you can call me Mr. Black, or you can call me the Black Authority. But you don't know me well enough to call me Jason. Mama Black calls me Jason. Melissa can call me Jason. Tony, I just met off the street from New York, refers to me as Mr. Black or Black Authority.
I'm not from the part of New York that you think, so I don't know.
I don't
if you
care if you're from New York bar. I don't care if you're from Brooklyn, Jupiter.
I'm not from Brooklyn.
Okay, now I'm going to give you 20 seconds to say whatever it was you wanted to say. I would have given you 2 minutes, but since you got diarrhea of the mouth, 20 seconds.
Well, I'd just like to let you know that George Washington Carver, he was alive until 1943, and that was way after the Industrial Revolution began.
Wrong.
Which happened to begin at the turn of the 1800s, actually. The Industrial
Wrong.
Revolution began in the 1800s to the 1870s. Thank you very much. Madam C.J.
From
Walker
1800
is a black
to 1870. All I can say, brothers and sisters, is she just showed you all how ridiculous she is. 1800 to 1870. Wow. And when I say 20 seconds, I mean 20 seconds. He's so rude! Yes. Yes, I am. Caller from the 240, you're on live, Black Channel. Caller from 240, scared. Last try, caller from 240, you're up. Caller from 240 hung, y'all. I didn't do that. Caller 240 said, whoa, this Negro is rough. Tell them I'm not that bad.
You're really not. It's just you have a very low tolerance and patience for some things.
This is, and she waited a long time to get on here, too. People wait a long time to get through on this phone, okay? They wait a long time. And I'd appreciate if people didn't waste our time here, okay? Because people wait a long time to talk to me. And I don't appreciate it when somebody gets on and wastes a bunch of time like that. New York, you have been a damn donkey tonight. I got to tell you that. New York, you have been a damn donkey. Just to say that to you. Just wanted to put that in there. By the way, did she say that the Industrial Revolution was over 1870? She said 1800 to 1870. I should have kept that dumbass wench on here a little bit longer. Okay, so what the hell was happening from 1870 to 2000? Did I miss something, Melissa?
I thought that's what she said.
She said the Industrial Revolution was 1800 to 1870. When did the Model T get made in? What happened from 1870 until the information age, if you want to start with internet and whatnot, at least the 1990s, what was that period of time? The Leave It to Beaver era? what was she saying about the 20th century? She was saying that the 20th century was neither the agrarian era nor the information era.
Well, I also have been hearing about the farm that's supposed to have been built for the last, 100 years. And I can't believe it's still being talked about because the government is so intrusive at this point. And farming is such a money-losing industry that the government pumps a lot of money in it just to keep, farmers afloat. So I don't understand what...
Well, let me clarify that there. Farming is a low profit industry unless you are what they call agribusiness. If you are Monsanto, Tyson, ConAgra, Arthur Daniels Midland, farming is big business and very profitable.
If you're a family farm though.
If you're Afro Shabazz with your farm with your farm outside of your grandfather's ranch, your grandfather's land out there in Mayfield, Louisiana, it's going to be a rough ride, guys, because you're competing. Do you know how much food you have to sell to make a profit? Do you really know how much? I mean, for anybody who actually has ever worked in the restaurant business, you know profit margins in food service at a restaurant. Now, that's at a restaurant. And he's talking about from the beginning point where the lowest profit margins are. I'm not saying we shouldn't be able to make our own food. I'm just saying you better have a plan, and it better be good.
Yeah.
Let's get some more callers in here. I do see one here. I think I recognize this number. The time here. Okay, they're waiting the very time. Caller from the 773 on live with the Black Channel. Caller from the 773, last time you're on live with the Black Channel. Caller from 773 has been abducted. Department of Homeland Security. Anybody sees, if somebody, was it 773, was that Chicago? If somebody sees somebody in Chicago with the Department of Homeland Security following his 81 old list, that might have been the color. I would say call police, but apparently they're all there. Caller from the 310, you're live with the Black Channel. Caller from 310, you're on live with Black Channel. Sounds like you got your phone in pocket.
What?
How do your pocket dial a blog talk radio program? How does that happen?
I pressed one. I hope he's okay. Not on again. I pressed one, then one again.
Okay, I'm going to put it back on hold. Try finding the one. It's the first one up there, right there in the top left corner. It kind of looks like a board or a slant. You might want to take first left at Albuquerque. Caller from the 702, you're on live with the Black Channel.
I just called listening to the show.
You're just listening?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm going to put you back on hold. I'm going to need for you to contact Ernie Burt so that they can see you how to use the number one. When I said before, press the number one again, I was talking to you. Everybody who's on the line, you don't want to get embarrassed like he did. Then if you're just listening, if you can hear me over the phone, the number one again to take yourself out of the caller queue over into the list queue. Otherwise, I've got another snappy comeback waiting just for you. Who hasn't been waiting quite so long? Caller from the 313, you're live with the Black Channel.
Hello, Jason Black. This is Niggas Boo from Facebook. How you doing
Niggas
today?
Boo, do you hear what the hell is happening on this phone tonight?
Well, I was just about to recommend that you go to the emergency tonight because I'm sure you bust a few blood vessels hearing all this display of ignorance.
She just sat here and told that the Industrial Revolution was from 1800 until 1870. Will someone please tell me 1800, which was 14 years after the signing of the Declaration of Independence, she says that we were in the industrial age at 1800.
Well, that's just due to lack of interpretation. What she didn't understand is it was the second coming of the Industrial Revolution when they started using steamboats. She misinterpreted that and thought it ended in 1870 with the actual second coming. So it's just a lack of interpretation, comprehension on her part. That's
well, here's
much
the other problem.
Was.
Problem is that what the hell did she think was going on from 1860 to 1990? She just basically eliminated the 20th century. She just said the facts don't fit my narrative, so I'm just going to get off the 20th century.
Now we know how Marcus Garvey led 15 million. He was using the internet. The computers were here in 1920.
Absolutely. So she hates me so much, and she's so determined that she's going to disagree with me, not prove me wrong, not debunk me. She's so determined to disagree with me that she just wrote off the 20th century. Can someone please tell us what the age was that we were in from 1870 until 1990 then? What the hell was that?
And the real sad part about it is that she said it with such conviction, like she just knew she just debunked you, like your statement, like she just came on there, and, like she was just gonna close everything down, like I defeated Jason Black. You know, it's like, come on, you don't have any accurate information. You just totally embarrassed yourself. But the thing is what's even more despondent is that I'm listening to these calls, and these callers are cowards. And the reason I say cowards, I was going to say previously accountability, but it's really just cowards. They try to deflect any type of responsibility because they're too coward to actually accept what it really is. You know, the guy came on here, he didn't have really nothing to say, and then he talked about spirituality. And then you ask him, okay, I accept your belief for spiritual edification, whatever. And then you ask him simply what do we do now? What are we going to do to resolve the problem? And he was very general. He was very indirect, and he couldn't give you an actual plan or a goal. And then he talked about, he said, what, agriculture? And it was just a general statement. And then he basically told on himself and said he got it from another business owner who actually owned the business, that she was talking about the ecosystem. I said, he's just talking about face value. He don't even know what he's talking about.
That comes back around to the original thing I started this podcast about. That caller, and I'm not beating up on him, but I guess I am giving him a left hook. Shabazz, brother, you are the quintessential example and illustration of why black women do not respect us today as men. Because you say a whole bunch of stuff and can't prove a damn thing. And here's the thing, niggas. When you start seeing a bunch of impractical, implausible things, women understand when you are talking to that woman like a woman. A woman understands when a man sounds just like a woman. Tony, when she said 1800 to 1870, she knows I don't have to be rational. It was her way of saying, I hate you, black authority. I hate you. That was her way of saying that. Well, from her, we'll accept that. She's a female, so afford to be irrational. As a man, I need you to have your numbers, your facts, your logic, your reasoning all lined up when you get here. And he had none of that. And too many black men are trying to get through life just like him. Talking, bull-jiving, bluffing, talking big. I mean, understand something. The way that he was talking, it was like the way that he was talking was the same way that you hear Negroes when their mother asks them, okay, you're 21 years old in my house. What are you going to do? I'm going to enroll in college, Mom. Okay, when you going to go? I'm getting – decide what subject I want. Well, don't worry. I'm going to go with them anyway. I'm going to decide what I want to do. And then they never get around to doing that. That's the problem. They never get around to actually telling you what it is exactly they were going to do. That's where he ends at. That's exactly what he did.
And then he played victim. At the end, he was basically acting like he was being victimized. And I'm like, you're a grown man. He's just asking you, what are we going to do? Because you couldn't do that, then you start being on the offensive and acting like, you know, I'm sorry to say this, but a female. You was acting like you was being victimized. And it just saddens me that you got these guys and you had the other guy who basically was telling you to sugarcoat what you're saying. You're disseminating the information. If I say the sky is blue, the sky is blue. If I say that we are the number one consumers, but we're the last when it comes to business owners,
but the problem, though, the problem is that logic and reason have been outlawed among them. And that's why when you talk to them about assets, they don't want to talk about assets. They don't talk about numbers, niggas. Do you remember he got most offended when I said, what are the numbers? He didn't want to discuss numbers. He wanted to discuss spirituality. And then he wanted to define for us what is spirituality. And once I disarmed him, you all saw do it in real time. I disarmed him and said, okay, spirituality is a go. Whatever you're selling, I'm buying. Now what do we do? Build the world's biggest farm. Okay, what are we going to do with the world's big farm? We're going to plant some corn. We're going to plant some cotton. We're going to commune. We're going to smoke a little herb. And I was like, okay, but I don't see how we build an economy now. And he never got around to how we were going to build an economy. He wants us to build a farm for the sake of building a farm. Negus, as a business owner, you understand something. You cannot simply build it and it will come.
Nope.
You cannot do that.
Nope.
You have to plan, know what you're doing, have a goal, and then build it. That's the way.
And I mean, what's even sadder is he had the audacity to bring up Dr. Claude Anderson, and I'm thinking, like, Dr. Clark Anderson gave the same statistic that you gave in terms of how the economy, 300 trillion economy, how we only got like 1%. He says that in a lot of his lectures. How did he miss that? And he talks about consumerism. We don't listen.
Let me tell you something, Nate. People watch Dr. Claude Anderson on YouTube. I have sat at the feet of the master, if I can use that phraseology, and had him run down the numbers with me. You'll get the documentary. Understand, I sat there in front of him, with him, as he went over this with me. This is something I just read in Powernomics. I sat there with him in the room. And for somebody to sit up here and say what Doc, to break, to invoke Dr. Anderson and what, and I'm never saying, dude, you're totally screwed up, because if you listen to Dr. Anderson at all, you would know that Dr. Anderson never told y'all to build a farm or anything. Mm-hmm. Everything he has mentioned has been industrial. And Dr. Anderson has an agriculture-based business, by the way. But he didn't use that because he wanted to make some fish. He wanted that to be part of a larger ecosystem, a part of a larger economic ecosystem. So that guy was using it, but using it totally out of context. Totally out of context. I've only got a little bit of time left, brother, but I'll go ahead and let you have the last word.
Well, I just want to say Black First, and it's been a heck of the evening listening to this broadcast. But thank you, Black First, as always, brother.
Black First, thank you very much for joining us, brother. We do so appreciate that. Let's see. Okay. Checking up my calls here. I've only got a few dozen of them. So I'm definitely going to try this, but I don't know. I may broadcast again tomorrow night just because I can. Caller from the 480, you're on live with blackchannel.net. Caller from 480, last call, you're on live with Black Channel. Caller from 480 was quickly abducted. This is why we call this the most dangerous video broadcast on Earth, because you might not make it to the end. And if there's anybody who's playing on my phones, I want them banned, but that's no matter. Let's grab somebody. We're going to mix it up here just a little bit. Let's grab somebody who hasn't been waiting for quite so long. Nothing personal here, folks. I'm just trying to do my thing. Caller on the 914, you're on live with the Black Channel. Caller from the 914, last try, you're on live with the Black Channel. Caller from 914 has been abducted. That's okay. We got plenty more calls in front of them. Caller from the 312, you're on live with Black Channel. Now, they got their number there. Maybe I should just dump all the calls. Few calls back in. Caller from 312, last try, on live with the Black Channel. Okay, caller from 312 apparently is the same van that 40 and 240 were abducted in. They're trying to call out, but apparently they're all just getting me. Okay, I do. Let's check on here. Caller from the 347, please down your speakers. You're on live with the channel. Okay, Johnny told me to pick 347. I got 347. Fine. Apparently, they're playing on the phone. There is a 347. We'll try them. Call from the other 347. You're on live with the Black Channel. Okay, caller from 347. You're on live. Okay. Johnny, I did pick it up. So, if anybody is in there and whatever is still playing in my chat room, please help show them the door. Caller from the 813 on live with the Black Channel. Or maybe you're part of that mass wipeout that's got my phone stuck. Caller from 813, you're on live Black Channel.
How you doing this evening, Mr. Black?
What's your name? We're calling from?
My name is Jason, and I'm calling from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Oh, I have to give you preferential treatment because we have the same name.
Thank you, brother.
Nah. What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, I've been listening to you for the last few nights, and wow, it's been amazing, some of the phone calls that you've actually gotten. First of all, good evening as well, Melissa.
Hi.
Thanks. I've been just, you know, first of all, from Melissa's video, I agreed with a lot of the information that you put out there that you did about black women being argumentative. And actually, my fiance, we both watched it and we agreed with it quite a bit because, you know, one thing that about our relationship is that we don't argue. She doesn't argue with me. You know, if we have a disagreement, we have a simple disagreement, we'll discuss it, and then we can basically say we agree to disagree or whatever or see each other's point and keep it moving. And that's not so much that happens within our community with males and females and their ability to communicate. And I do think that's an issue, why we can't come together to build anything and why men can't seem to come together either, because they tend to have a lot of these female traits, as I've heard tonight. Like whenever Jason challenges them, they get extremely offended or defensive and very emotional, and they get they just lose their minds. And I just really don't understand it. But I've been listening to you and watched a couple of your videos recently over the last month or so, Jason. And I actually would like to thank you for what you've done, because you have actually put out. I've heard you, drop a couple books. Names out there, and I actually went and ordered The Blueprint for Black Power by Dr. Amos Wilson.
That's a good start.
That came in the other day, big $900 book, and it was surprising when I actually went online to order the book. There was I was kind of looking around because it's something that you couldn't just get off of Amazon, and you kind of had to go through third party, but kind of checked like Barnes & Noble's website, and it was really interesting to me that it said on there that the book was not authorized to be shipped to prisons. And it kind of had my mind going like, wow, what in the world is in this book? Why they say that you cannot ship this book? The book is not authorized in prisons. So
that's very interesting because a lot of people have forgotten that the United States government a long time ago, anything that was regarded as, quote, black power, anything that was regarded as Afrocentric, you are not allowed to have that. They put that list, even if it didn't tell violence anything. J. Edgar Hoover did a real number. He did a real number.
Right, and that was the thing that kind of sparked my interest about it even more. Just seeing that on the website saying that it was not authorized in prison. So I've gotten that. I've also gotten Black Labor, Black Labor, White Wealth, and Paranomics from Dr. Claude Anderson. So it's a lot of things that just listening to you for the last couple of months, I truly believe that for a long time the wool has been pulled over a lot of black people's minds, but it's kind of like I've really like to take like the Matrix analogy to it. It's like when you start trying to talk to people about this stuff and trying to build, they reject the idea. It's like they're rejecting the idea, I give you an example.
Okay,
I'm
going to make this really short here because I got a bunch of folk on the line. I want to try to get as many as I can, but I think I get the gist of what you're saying. You have to understand, people let you know what they came to find out, okay? When Shabazz said that we need to focus on our spirituality, look, if he had wanted to talk about economics, he would have started off saying, here's how we improve our economics. He didn't say that. What he said was that we need to become more spiritual. We got the wrong religion. Better yet, get rid of their religion and take my religion, and everything will be just fine. You know what? But isn't that what the other one said?
True.
Isn't that what all the others say is that, you got the wrong religion, and if you'll just take our religion, then you'll be okay. That's what all of them say. I say enough with the religion, enough with the spirituality. The only place that we're lacking is in the physical world. We're doing anything and everything to avoid dealing with our physical actuality. Not interested in any more roadblocks. If he had really wanted to talk about socioeconomic empowerment, he would have started off talking about socioeconomics, not something totally unrelated like spirituality. And when we asked him about socioeconomics, you found out very quickly he doesn't have any answers.
Right. Once again, I'd like to thank you and Melissa once again for the video that you put out. And Jason, I'm definitely want to be a part of being on board to promote your new documentary. I'm very interested to see it and hear it. I'm all about building. I just got with another brother by the same name, Jason. Tonight I just left a meeting. We're looking to put together to do some e-commerce. So we're trying to build, and you know, we have the capital. We're looking to expand and do some real serious building, because I think that's the only way we're going to have to be able to show that, you know, together as like-minded individuals and intelligent individuals, that's the only way we're going to be able to show folks that it can be done, and we do not have to rely on the system that was put in place in front of us, because we have to understand that the system is racist. The racism is the system, and we need to break away from that and build our own.
Thank you very much for your call, caller. We do appreciate that. The telephone line here, I've got a number of people still on the line, which is fine. I don't want any numbers on here that I think I may have already answered before. So here's one I haven't. Caller from the 954, you're on live with the Black Channel. Caller 954, sounds like you're in a taco kitchen. You're live with the Black Channel. Caller from 954 is listening to us while doing the dishes. Now they can't listen to us at all. Really a shame when you think about it. Oh, well. I take these as quickly as I can here. See what I can do. Caller from the 786, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hello?
Yes.
Good evening, Mr. Black. Black first.
Black first, brother. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm Lonnie. I'm calling from Miami.
What's on your mind, Black man? Obviously, 954. That's like Miramar, I think it is, or something like that.
Yeah, that's it is Miramar. That's Broward County.
Ah, you see, this is why they call me the authority. And obviously, they're not paying much attention to Miramar, either that or they're getting ready to legalize weed. What's on your mind, Black man?
Okay, what's on my mind is first thing that we need to do is educate people on the difference between an opinion and a fact, because apparently people don't know the difference between either one of them.
Or don't care.
Exactly, they don't care. And second, educate people on how the economy actually works. A farm? That's moronic. What is this, 1812 or something? You want to build a farm?
No, what they've done is that farm thing, you have to understand, it's just another element of that spirituality thing. Because there's no, he didn't have any concrete plan for how this farm was going to work. He didn't talk about getting his seeds. He didn't talk about profit potential. He didn't talk about any of that. He just said, make farm and then require everybody to buy from the farm. Basically was what he was saying. Make a farm and everyone commune and is required to, quote, buy from the farm. Now, how big of a damn economy are we going to be able to make from this farm? But that's
$12.
Well, 3 ears of corn and some rutabagas. So he said that for purposes of saying something, because remember what we said. He said, well, you asked me for an idea, and I gave you an idea. I didn't ask him for an idea. I asked him for a plan. I asked him, what are we going to do? And he just figured, well, if I respond with something, he tried to use the tactics on me that they use on those. Do something that sounds, in literature, they call it verisimilitude. Now, I know I threw a bunch of people with that one. Verihumitude? Verisimilitude. Look it up. Well, In any case, make a long story short, verisimilitude basically in literature is when you describe something that sounds like it has plausibility. Even if it is physically impossible, it sounds like it could be plausible. More women end up in bed having more casual sex with more fast talkers based on verisimilitude than anything else in history. And he tried the same tactic on me and realized I'm a female. And that was what just happened then. He tried it on me and realized I'm not a girl.
Well, that's because all they get around on jive. Everybody's just pitching jive. Even the ones, once you start trying to say something in reality, women just going to think that you're pitching jive.
That's the thing. I mean, what he just demonstrated why black men get no respect, because got all this pie in the sky and hullabaloo and spiritual flim-flam that we keep throwing around. All this jive talk that we keep saying all the damn time. We keep doing that all the time. And it's gotten to the point that nobody even listens to us anymore. Nobody even listens to us. We start talking as a black man and people immediately go suspicious because we're from that group of jive talkers. We're that group of jive talkers. That's what we do.
Yeah, I've tried to reach out to people, black men that I know, and everybody, the only people that I hear anything positive back from and actually doing something and building the economy is black women. And it's a few, it's just a few of them. None of the men are interested in actually doing anything. They just want to see how much they, how far they can go until they get some draws.
Yeah, and that basically what you just heard from him. How far can I go? How much can I do? What can I make happen? He was basically trying to run game on another, a man who doesn't care for game. That was what you just heard. And that might rub you the wrong way, because understand something. And Avenue Rant's absolutely right. The reason that black men don't go to church is because we don't want to hear another dude sitting here trying to throw game at us. We know game when we hear it. And we're interested in seeing some dude throwing game at us. Because we know we throw game. And that was why it rubbed you the wrong way when you heard it, like it rubbed me the wrong way. We know game when we hear it. But you ain't saying nothing. Using all these words, you're not saying anything. You're just running game. And that's it. I'll let you have the last word, brother.
Well, I just want to say that it's a joy. I watched all your videos. I watched all Melissa's videos. And keep it on, brother and sister. Keep pushing on, because we got to get through the hard heads, like 60%, maybe even higher, of black people that don't want to do anything. Keep it the same.
Thank you very much for joining, brother. As always, Black First. Let's see. We'll try to get another couple of calls in here. See if we can. I'm going to try to stay away from any lines that anything looks like I've seen it before. Let's get this one off of here, because you just need to be gone. Okay. I got a couple of people on here. Let me see. Some right here looks like I have taken that before. Caller from the 804. You're live with the Black Channel. Caller from 804. You're on live. Either that or you are playing in the kitchen. Okay. Caller from 804 apparently was calling us from the bathroom. And that can be a pretty tricky place. Calling in from. Not recognize this one right here. I can talk to somebody from here in a bit. Caller from the 323. You're on live with the Black Channel with a bunch of noise.
Hi, Jason Black. This is Mario McGee calling from Los Angeles.
What's on your mind, black man? Sounds like you called from under the bed. Is everything okay?
Oh, yeah, everything is great. Let me take out my is this better?
Okay, well, we'll find out here in a moment, because it sounded like you were calling from, like, hiding up under the bed, like the drug dealer was in the house sweeping through the city.
No, sir.
Got to see if there were any survivors left. So I just wanted to make sure this call was not to get outrageous on here, because I'm like, man, I've never had a fatality on my podcast before. I don't even know who called. do I call the police Freeport or do I call the police in Los Angeles? I feel like about it because Los Angeles will shoot you when they get there. So I don't know. You're just in trouble,
right,
brother. You're just in trouble.
No, all is well. I do have a question for the host as well as the co-host. I wanted to know.
I have a co-host. I have a swatter. Essentially.
No, I said the delivery because I think you guys work very, very well together. You and Miss Melissa Ortiz, you guys complement each other very well, both intellectually and otherwise.
You don't know some of the things she says when she's not on here, okay? Trust me. You don't know some of the stuff I got to go through. You think
all
she's,
lies.
You think she's tough on black women online? You should see how she talks to me offline. That's all I'll say there.
Right.
What you got to say?
Sir, if I may, I wanted to know, you've established yourself, I'm confident in assuming that you've reached a pinnacle of success in your personal as well as your professional endeavors. I wanted to know, how did you prepare yourself mentally, emotionally, as well as spiritually, if that was necessary, to the level of success that you've achieved throughout your life?
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm all the things I want to do, I'm at like 10%.
Mm.
I'm 37 years old, not 10% all the things I want to do. The things I think I'm capable of, I'm like 10% at this point, but there's a huge gap in there. What you're going back to, brother, though, the question you're asking is character. How do you develop character? Character is what you are when no one else is around.
Right.
Did you put that buggy back in the that lane at Walmart where they call the buggies there? Because nobody is watching, and nobody's going to congratulate you for doing it, and they're not going to condemn you if you don't. But did you do it? Did you do your best today? Did you behave as if everybody in the city was watching you at your job today doing your best? Did you behave like that? Or did you say, nobody's watching me, I'll just do this however I'm going to do it? It comes down to the standard that you hold yourself to. And that is something that you do every minute of every day. How much time do you spend checking yourself in a day? Most people don't. They just try to get through the day. Monitoring yourself, however, was your reason for getting up today. And that's the part that most people just disregard. You can't establish personal excellence if you aren't grading yourself throughout the day. And you can use everything as an opportunity for personal excellence. Case in point,
right. You're
from Los Angeles. I'm from Shreveport, Louisiana. How much of a southern accent do you hear from me?
None, actually.
Okay. Now, do you know how much effort and concentration that it takes me to monitor myself and make sure I don't slip into my southern accent? Now, you all might hear a word here or there, but I'm talking about when I get on this phone and just say, you know what, man, these damn folks from New York is wearing me out. That's what I want to say. That's the way that I want to say it. But I realize I'm talking to people who are not from Louisiana, and that would downgrade me. I don't say it like that. Like right. Oprah Winfrey and Tyler Perry and other people from the South, we make a conscious effort to check ourselves. Because we're all Southerners, but we make a conscious effort to check ourselves and our language. So that's every word that you use during the day. You can, those little skills that you perfect, because if you can check your language, you can check thoughts. And if you can check thoughts, you control your life. You have opportunities all throughout your day to hold yourself to a standard of excellence. The next thing is you need to dedicate yourself to that standard of excellence. And that's when people start dissing you for being excellent. You start saying, I don't give a damn. Because me and this person are not going to the same place. It's just like we're on the freeway and somebody is sitting up here and driving too slow or driving too fast. You ever had some place that was really important for you to and somebody was out there flying? You don't want to do that. Why? Because me and this person ain't going to the same place.
Right.
They're not going to the same place. They're not doing the same thing. they're not going to get there. And you have to get there. This is your daughter's crystal. This is your mom's deathbed. I have to get there, so I have to die safely. Me and you ain't going to the same place. And you have to see that you are, as the Bible says, in this world, not of this world. That there are 7 billion people on this planet and one individual you. And that's the way you have to see it. You have to start living your life, seeing the world through your eyes.
Right.
And it's something that you will have to monitor yourself on every day. And when you say, well, what do you perfect on? Everything. People ask me all the time, what books do you recommend I read? There are two books that I recommend you read, son. Anything, Everything. Those are the two books I recommend you read. Anything and Everything.
Absolutely.
I'll let you
I appreciate you taking the call. And the last word is Black First, and thank you.
Black First, brother, and keep at it. Definitely let us hear from you again because you found kindred souls when it comes to Black intelligence, Black excellence, and Black empowerment. Please be careful out there. Get from under that bed. It is unseemly. Caller from the 317, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Black First, how you you and Melissa doing?
Black brother, what's your name? Where you calling from?
Oh, this is Ronan. I called to thank you both.
Brother Ronan, have you heard some of the men on this phone tonight? From Queens to Brooklyn to wherever that Tony Chick was from, we're going to build farms. We're not going to check each other on anything, and we're going to coddle each other at our hands. Oh, yeah, and don't forget, we have to be first spiritually groovy.
Well, after taking some pills for that migraine, for that ignorance they had, I figure stupid is a pandemic of choice. And seeing that, you know, you have yourself and Melissa and a myriad of others who not only challenge the status quo, but challenge others of like mind to push themselves much further. They have a problem with that, because even though it takes an Olympic effort to be stupid and remain stupid, it takes a whole lot of introspection that they're deathly afraid of to make yourself better, not just for yourself, but for your community and your people. And when it comes to both of you guys, that's what I had to do. And you mentioned a few things out there where on this journey, you're going to end up losing who you thought were assets to your life, even family. And I've seen that with my brother, seen that with some other relatives, even friends I've had for years. And the worst thing you can do is try to add extra minutes for someone who is just seasonal. So when you have those retards that sit there and try to sound logical and run game, all they're doing is basically clinging to the cliff of insignificance. That's all they're doing, because eventually they're going to lose their grip and fall off. So when it comes to forward progression, you're going to have zero tolerance, even if the person that you even married to or people that, you know, who you have blood ties or even your best friends and went through some all kind of trials and tribulations, some people cannot, they're just not going to make it. They're going to be your biggest detractors. They're going to challenge you on, you know, as far as Melissa's stance, you know, they try to challenge her ethnicity, but again, black is black. If you and it automatically tells me that they don't know their history.
Let
they
me
don't
on that. Okay. First of all, it's interesting that the people who want to bring that kind of thing up, black females, isn't very interesting that whenever they want to talk about, we got the same options as black men and we can get a white man. Isn't it interesting that when you ask what black females can get a white man, they always name Mariah Carey, Halle Berry, Paula Patton.
Mm-hmm.
Those were black women. It was convenient. But
yes.
When it's not convenient, you're not black enough. And then when you see a bunch of men, males, who can know better. As males,
yeah,
we should be playing that garbage.
Right.
Males should know better. And to see males who act like hoes, and I'm saying it the way I mean it,
Yeah.
To see males act like hoes and are catty to the female they don't even know. Let's just be honest. For most dudes, it's because they want to get with her and she has ignored them in the inbox. By the way, if I can go a little personal here, I see her inbox all the time, by the way. We laugh. I'll put it like that to y'all. You fellas out there, we laugh about it. We laugh about
and
it
all. And you should. Because
now, the other thing is, these other dudes, they sitting up here, put the fellas who want to sit up here and talk about her ethnicity, and they'll be the biggest ones with putting up pictures of white women.
Yeah.
So you're co-signing white women when it's convenient, but you want to de-black Melissa because it's not, because you're jealous or whatever the case might be. This is that schizophrenic mindset we're dealing with here. But you know what, brother? Real recognizes real.
Yeah.
Real recognizes real. We don't even have to fight with them on. They can put up their pictures and try all that reverse psychology if they want to, but game recognizes game, and you can't lie about the numbers. Put her numbers against anybody who wants to talk greasy about her. Put her numbers of the people who are listening to her up against their numbers any day of the week now and see what you come up with.
Well, that's the main part. That's the main part because, again, you both and a number of others that I've listened to and shared dialogue with, you guys put out facts. And you actually challenge people to challenge your facts. Fact check me if you think I'm wrong. And unsuccessfully, on a number of shows ever since you've been back, it hasn't happened. It's always been emotional or emotive-based tirades, and eventually they expose themselves. And it's funny how you said how they chase after, how they accept the Halle Berrys, the Mariah Careys, and the Legion of Others, but then they have the ignorance that radiates that shows that they want to easily dismiss, you know, the Huey P. Newtons and all the individuals who have actually made a difference in spite of what, you know, the whole so-called half-breed and all that nonsense. Black is black, period. And if you can't come with the facts, kill yourself, either by physically or just by sitting by and doing nothing. So that's why my whole stance is it. And I'm most thankful for you guys because, yes, even though this journey is meant to be difficult, that's where you find courage in, being honest with yourself and with others. And actually living the truth instead of living the high cost of lies that everyone is doing. So, like I said, Black First, appreciate y'all both. And most definitely, especially Fat Deborah, coming after that ass too. But, yeah.
Well, I've been kind of chopping his, man. I mean, Alexis Cortese. I just chopped. I beheaded Cookie today. I had to lie about pictures. She could have gotten away with that if she hadn't done it when the authorities there. And I guess she figured nobody would actually go looking to find it. And it took me 10 minutes, but I found it. And
yeah,
the moral of this story, boys and girls, is act a fool. Just don't do it when the authority is around. Thank you very much for joining us, brother. Please call in again. I still got a bunch of people on this line here and whatnot. And I haven't been monitoring stuff very well either over here, by the way. So I'm going to keep an eye on that. I'll try to open up a few more phone lines here. Caller from the 313 and the 919, you're on live Black Channel.
It's just non-existent with your typical black male.
Hello.
In 2014. He just don't have it.
What's your name? Where you calling from?
My name is Dave. I'm calling from Raleigh.
Not a back of...
Is that Dave?
Hello?
Yes,
sir.
Okay.
How you doing, Mr. Black?
What's on your mind, Black man?
Not much, man. I actually ran across your stuff when you were coming out with the Trayvon Martin information, and it was really on some Road to Damascus stuff because, you know, at my job, I'm pretty much the spook who sat by the door. It's me and a bunch of other Caucasian folks, same way in college and high school. So, I mean, really, all of this stuff has been a breath of fresh air, man. I really appreciate all that you do. Please keep doing it.
Well, thank you very much, brother. It gets hard sometimes, but like I say, I mean, I'm in for the long haul. I don't make any money at this. You can keep the money. I'll take the change. And I'm hoping that at this point, you know, just whatever, man. I hold my soul to this. Let that be my legacy.
Well, keep doing it, brother. I just got one question for you. At what point will African Americans stop expecting something from Barack Obama? Because every time I talk to my boys, you know, I keep saying, I said when he first got elected, and I used to work for the Democratic Party. I was in a big hotel room in 2008, downtown Raleigh, North Carolina, partying with all those folks. And I kind of got a feeling then it was just politics. And we didn't really, we've never come with an actual agenda. We've never come with any type of economic base to demand anything. And it looks like, I mean, he's helped every other group, homosexuals, women. He's looking at trying to pass the DREAM Act. Black people have been an afterthought. I don't even think this campaign, my brother's keeper, is going to do anything really on the ground for the average African-American kid. So at what point do black people say, you know what, this man, we can't rely on him. He's not going to do anything for us. It's 6 years. We've got nothing.
Here's the problem with that. The problem with that is it doesn't make a difference now. Even if all of black society woke up and said, whoa, it doesn't matter now. The damage is done. We can't do anything to him or about him. The time to be concerned about this was 2007 when he was asking for our vote. That was the time for us to be concerned about it. We waited until, damn me, 2014 to say, hey, you used us for a one-night stand. No, for a two-night stand. We waited until all the horses were out talking about closing the barn door. That's the real problem of it. The problem of it now is, the problem is not Barack Obama. The problem is that black people are politically ignorant. We do not understand the purpose of politics. We do not understand how it works, and we do not understand what to do with political power when we do have it.
I think you're absolutely right. I remember one of your broadcasts, you said something about Kasim Reed. You think he's going to be the last black mayor of Atlanta. And then back when the snowstorm and he got all that bad press, I was like, man, TBA must really be on to something, because this looking like right now he's fighting for dear life to hold on to that mayor.
But he was fighting for dear life when he got elected. He only got elected by 7,000 votes. Don't believe me. Go look it up for yourself. Don't miss Tony. She will be way off on that one. She'll tell you 800,000 votes. No, he was elected by 7,000 votes. And I told you what was going to happen to New Orleans. My longtime listeners heard me make the call. Ray Nagin was out. I told you what was going to happen. Did it happen? Told you what was going to happen in Detroit. Did it happen? Go down the line. We're losing everything everywhere. And it's because events are following the pathology. We're trying to get the pathology to follow the event. The events are following the pathology. We make too many, as Dr. Claude Anderson called it, inappropriate behaviors. And we are paying the price for all of these schizophrenic, inappropriate behaviors. That's the problem. Everything that we do is serially inappropriate. Serially inappropriate. And we do it over and over and over and over again. We have not demonstrated that we are willing to hold any elected official responsible. White people voted for Barack Obama to punish Hillary Clinton and the Republican Party. Black people support Barack Obama because he's black. White people punished Hillary Clinton and the Republican Party because they failed to deliver results. What did they show you? We're not going to just support you because you're here. We will support you because you brought home the bacon and you delivered results. They stopped delivering results. You got to go.
Well, brother, keep doing what you're doing, man. I appreciate you dropping knowledge. I can't wait for 7 a.m. to drop.
Well, definitely keep an eye on that. Thank you very much for joining us, brother. I'm just going to run this thing up. Time's out on it. I don't care. Got one nameless caller on here. You're on live with the Black Channel. I'm just taking it because I can't. That's quite all right. I'll just take one more call here because it's about to turn all these lines off is what it's about to do. I'll just take one more call, though. Caller from the 832, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Read the book. Read the book.
The people from the Omen were calling in there. Hi, brothers and sisters from around the world, where we're going to go ahead and wrap it up here. It's been another stellar night on the Black Channel. Look for the broadcast to be uploaded shortly if you don't have any difficulty with that. Something funny did happen with it while it was recording earlier here. I'm hoping that's not a big problem. We will see. But that's all more reason that you have to be here live because you want to be first in line to this. I don't know if we'll be broadcasting tomorrow night. It just depends on how I feel. But for those of you who have joined here at Intelligent Black Society, I do thank you very much because this is your future that's on the line. Once again, the documentary is 7 a.m., and that will be coming to you here. You'll have your opportunity to enjoy and engage in group economics with us on this because it's not just a documentary. It is a way of life, and it's the first one that will invite you to become a part of the effort. And join me next time, brothers and sisters from around the world, blackchannel.net radio. I am your host, your brother, your humble servant, the Black Authority. And until next time, brothers and sisters from around the world, remember, black is the future, and future is uncompromising.